become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of ETL Daily. I am your host, the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. It's great to have you back. And I am here to talk about all the latest film, television, pop culture stuff. And shortly, I will have Steven here with me. Steven, the pop culture zealot. But before then, I'm going to talk about some things that happened this week. First of all, I want to thank all of you for listening and thank you for your support. If you'd like to, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com to send us an email or a voicemail. It'd be lovely to have some voicemails on the show. Also, go to etlandfill.com and you can check out all of our old episodes. But most of all, I'd like to thank our patrons, people who support the show. They're patrons for the show. And if you'd like to be a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. And then there you can see details on how to become a patron of the show. It would be pretty awesome if you did, and we'll love you for it. But this is the main thing I wanted to bring up right now before we get deeper into this particular episode. I hope that you're enjoying the ETL Dailies. I know it's different than our usual show, like with the DVD segment and the news, but I'm going to try to change things up and kind of morph ETL Daily into kind of, it's basically Entertainment Landfill, the regular show, but in a light edition. I can hit record and can just start talking. And I have a desire to do this show, especially like if Bill and Steven aren't available and I have some guests lined up that I need to get in contact with. The holidays kind of screwed everything up. I made plans with different people to be on the show, and now I've got to get back on that now that the holidays are over. We can get back to normal before spring break happens. But most of all, I just hope people are listening and they're enjoying the show. I know it's way different listening to my stupid ass talk for an hour by myself. Believe me, I'm getting used to it to myself, and I'm trying to be as entertaining as possible, and I hope you guys are liking it. I can understand if you miss Bill and Steven. I do too. Steven is going to be on tonight's show. I know that Bill is, he drove across the country and just arrived home today, literally, or I think it was late last night. I'm not sure how much sleep he's got, so you can understand, like, I'm like, hey, you ready to record? You know, it's I don't want to ask too much of him right now. He's got things going on. So, but I want to give you guys a show. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you guys a show, yo. So basically, I'm here to talk about, you know, things that I love, things that I hate, my dog barking, and just chit-chat, yo. You know what I'm saying? One thing I got to say is I've been watching a lot of The Wire. And, oh my God. I try not to speak in a street talk when I'm done binge watching like 6 episodes in a row and say words that I never say in my regular everyday speech. For those of you who listened to last week, I talked about HBO remastering The Wire. Well, I started it up on HBO Go with episode 1. I talked about last week how I just started watching it as it was airing in a marathon and it was season 4, and I was really into it, and I was really digging it, and I was like, I gotta start over to episode 1. I don't know who any of these people are. So I've since binge-watched the entirety of season 1, and now I am to season 2, up to episode 10, and I'm trying as hard as I can not to use hyperbole while describing this. For years, I've heard about The Wire. For years, I've heard that it's one of the greatest shows ever made. I've also heard that it didn't get the credit it deserved. I think it won a Peabody Award. I'm not sure how many awards it actually won, but I know that it wasn't enough. I think most of the cast probably should have won some kind of award. The cast, the acting is fantastic. The writing is fantastic. The directing is fantastic. This show is incredible. I'm not overblowing this, guys. It's basically like reading a book, a dense book full of characters that rewards you for paying attention. I've read some people, you know, I've gone back and read certain recaps of the episodes I've read, making sure there's no spoilers for later episodes, because you guys know I hate spoilers, but this show rewards you for paying attention. And if you don't pay attention, shame on you, don't even watch it, because the show is incredible. I mean, it is, wow. It's, I'm blown away by every single episode. You're introduced to characters you never think you'll care about, and you end up caring about them. You care about the criminals. You care about the cops. You have certain characters you can't wait till they get theirs. And it's, oh my God, it's just so rich. It's kind of like, you know, I've heard about it for so long, and it's like, I've got to go and watch that sometime. But if you have HBO Go, start watching it. Especially now that they've remastered it and it's so gorgeous to look at, and it's just incredible. And I start thinking about things like, what's the one HBO show you always heard about? Even if you didn't have HBO, everybody knew about The Sopranos. Am I right? Like, everybody talked about The Sopranos. And I'm telling you, as I'm watching the show, I love The Sopranos. Don't get me wrong. I don't even think I've never seen the first season of The Sopranos. I think I started watching like season 3 when I finally got HBO. I could go back now on HBO Go and watch it from the beginning, and I probably will someday. But I wonder, why wasn't The Wire getting the notice that Sopranos did? And maybe it's because it took place in Baltimore and it's dealing with the streets and the drug trade and cops and people wearing wires and stuff like that. But it's such a smart show. I mean, so is The Sopranos, don't get me wrong, but I still think The Wire deserved that attention. That's what I think is great, that HBO has remastered it. Maybe more people who had never seen it like me will discover it now. So I'm just recommending it. It's a pretty hardcore show, but it's pretty awesome. And I mean, I'm only on season 2. It's set 5 seasons. Can't wait to watch all of it. I definitely don't want any spoilers if you've seen it. Don't tell me, well, this season was better than that or any. I don't want to hear any of that. I will discover whatever it is myself. I hope you do too. So that's enough on The Wire, but I'm digging it. Well, there's been a lot of cool Netflix news this week. Yeah, I've been patiently awaiting hearing about when the Daredevil series would premiere. And now we know it will premiere in April. And when, you know, it's on Netflix. So what premiering means is the whole season, bam, just gets uploaded that day. And that is so cool that you could watch it at your leisure. And I'm so excited about it. Netflix will debut all 13 episodes of Daredevil, its series based on the Marvel comic, on April 10th as part of the stacked spring schedule it announced at the Television Critics Association. Another thing that you guys have heard me talk about, Marco Polo. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it. In fact, I'm on what is that last episode on? Unfortunately, The Wire kind of took over my Marco Polo duties because I haven't finished the first season, but I'm going to get back to it. That's a brilliant thing, is that I can watch it whenever I want. I mean, you guys, we all watch one episode a week of shows. It's okay if I watch like the first five Marco Polos and I take a break to watch The Wire and then get back to Marco Polo. It's no big deal. I just need to get back to an episode before I forget who everyone is. Hopefully I don't. But the main thing that I was worried about Marco Polo as I was enjoying it is I wondered how much Netflix paid attention to bad reviews of the show. And I read some of them on last week's show, which I all thought were bullshit, by the way. I think the show is incredible, and it is a quality program. And I fear many people judge it on the first episode and called it boring. It's not boring. It's a great show. But I read what Chief Content Officer Ted Sarandos of Netflix said about renewing Marco Polo for a second season. It has been renewed for a second season. So I was like, hot damn, that is awesome. And he said this: I've never seen a bigger disparity between user reviews and critic reviews. We want to have both, but if I had to choose between the two, I'd pick fans. He's going to go with the viewers, which I think is awesome. So that's cool. I love that they're picking the viewers. You know, if nobody was watching the show, I can understand, but I have no idea what numbers are like on Netflix. But a lot of people have Netflix now, and it's so available everywhere. I've got it on my Xbox. I've got it, you know, I've got it on a tablet. I've got it on Emma's tablet. It's my wife's tablet. It's just all over the place, and we can watch all these shows. And I don't even know how many people have Netflix, but I'm sure it's a lot. And if just the number of people watching Marco Polo, I don't know if you guys do this, if you have Netflix, but do you rate things, the star meter, when you're done? Because I always try to give it a review, especially if it's original programming. I mean, honestly, stuff like Orange is the New Black, we know that's a hit and it's going to keep coming back. We know House of Cards, I think this is the final season. That was always meant to be a short kind of series run anyway. But what's exciting about something like House of Cards is I hope the people, David Fincher, etc., they decide, hey, now let's do this on Netflix. And I can't wait to see something like that. Netflix is exciting. I get excited about all the new shows they have on it. Now, in other news, this is what's interesting. If you guys remember me talking about Amazon last week, I keep going back to stories that I talked about last week. But what I was concerned about last week about Amazon is they're doing their own series now, too. They're doing comedies, serious shows. They mostly seem to be in the modern day, right? Well, they had this one show on order by Chris Carter, the guy who created X-Files. And I haven't seen, I'm not sure what the hell this guy has done lately. So, okay, as recent as July, there was this story in Variety about The After, Amazon's The After. Creator Chris Carter needed a good break after The X-Files. Now, I watched this pilot. You can still watch it now. It's kind of like the end of the world. Everything's going nuts. There's this ensemble cast, including Jamie Kennedy, Sharon Lawrence, Adrian Pazdar. And I thought it was ambitious. You know, you're seeing a city like on fire and stuff. And it's a high concept, but it's obvious they didn't spend a lot on the pilot. And I was like, wow, this is ambitious for Amazon, because they've greenlit comedies and kind of household dramas, which I don't know how much money they're spending, but it can't be a lot. They're definitely not greenlighting Marco Polo, you know, or even big shows like House of Cards with lots of big name actors yet. So I was waiting for them to do something like that. But when I knew they were doing The After, I was like, well, they've got to put some bucks into this show, right? And this story in July was appeared in Variety, and it says, X-Files creator Chris Carter will soon return to the screen with Amazon Studios' The After. While an air date for the Amazon Prime Instant Video series has yet to be announced beyond an early 2015 window, during a panel at the Television Critics Association, so this was very recent, Carter did confirm that the series will debut on a week-to-week basis instead of the entire season being released at once, which is a Netflix thing, you know. Carter admitted that he needed a good break following the conclusion of The X-Files, since he'd spent 10 years of output, needed the equivalent input in order to recharge creatively. So basically he's saying that it took a long time for him to recharge his creativity, and he finally found the right project. Everything's cool, right? Oh, he sold the series to Amazon. It's going to be cool. So this news comes out this week, and it was right after I was wondering if Amazon would have the balls to do like a big budget type of kind of high concept thing. This headline comes out: Amazon kills Chris Carter's The After without shooting a single new episode. Uh-oh. X-Files mastermind Chris Carter won't have a new show on Amazon after all. Variety reports, the show was a part of Amazon Studios' new wave of pilots last year, and I watched it, and focused on a group of survivors dealing with an apocalyptic event in Los Angeles. It was later picked up for a full season order and expected to debut sometime in 2015. Not only will that not happen, but according to the report, Amazon never even shot a single episode beyond the pilot. After struggling with some of its original programming, Amazon Studios finally hit pay dirt in 2014 with the critically acclaimed Transparent, proving it can produce quality programming like Netflix. And I have heard that that show's fantastic. The show has already been renewed for a second season. And this past December, Amazon also put up the first season of Roman Coppola and Jason Schwartzman's Mozart in the Jungle, which I've also read good things about. It's not exactly clear why The After was left behind, though many reviews weren't kind, but it certainly doesn't bode well given that the show had already been ordered. Carter fans aren't totally out of luck, though, as the writer-director is also developing an Area 51 project for AMC. Oh, thank goodness. So here is my concerns about it. While Amazon, I mean, sure, we can have plenty of comedies based in present day, plenty of dramas placed in present day, which are much cheaper. You know, you just film it in a city somewhere and you're good, you're gold. The After, it was this kind of apocalypse happening. It's going to have some CGI effects. At the end of the episode, you're either on board or you aren't. Some kind of, you know, supernatural element introduces itself. But the thing that I thought was crazy is that it had been greenlit. Like, they were like, okay, full season order, we're going to do 13 episodes. And then a year passes, and then they're like, it's not going to happen. So I really wonder what happened there. That's pretty effed up. I don't know, man. But one thing I should point out, though, is I do not have Amazon Prime. Amazon streaming, you know, I can't stream episodes. I have to purchase them, single episodes, if I want anything. So I think it's like $99 for a whole year, and you can stream as much as you want, like Netflix. The only problem is Amazon makes you pay all at once. I might do it if I could just do it month to month, you know, like $8.99 or $7.99, and just, like, when the series Bosch comes out starring Titus Welliver, I really want to check that out. It's going to be a shame, like, I have to pay $99 right up front. And the main thing that's where it's like, okay, well, this is worth it, is that if you do that, Amazon gives you free shipping on everything for a year. And that is pretty helpful if you order a lot of things from Amazon, which I don't. Maybe one time of year during Christmas or something, but I'm not sure if it is a worthwhile thing. Maybe it will be. I guess that's what they're doing. They're creating all these shows because they want you to have a reason to pay $99 a month. But that's such a crazy model, don't you think? Nobody pays the whole year for their phone. Nobody pays the whole year for their cable or DirecTV. Most of us pay once a month. So it's a strange model, and I'm wondering if they'll change that. They've got to eventually. It's just kind of screwy. the way they tie it together with their video service and shipping is strange also. Continuing with Amazon stories, is I read that Guillermo del Toro is working on a dark fantasy TV series for Amazon. Let's see if it's been greenlit or if it's just a pilot. Guillermo del Toro is working on a new dark fantasy television series. That's real surprising, him doing that. And it's coming exclusively to Amazon, called Carnival Row. The series actually started life as a feature film called A Killing on Carnival Row by Travis Beecham, who also wrote del Toro's Robot vs. Monster epic Pacific Rim. But since the script was written in 2005, it has struggled to find a home. Thanks to Amazon Studios, it looks like that will finally change. The show takes place in a Victorian-esque fantasy world filled with magical creatures, and the original script focuses on a detective in search of a serial killer, though it's unclear if the TV series will follow the same route. According to Del Toro, the shift from film to television will allow him and his writing team to expand the world quite a bit. "We always had too many ideas to fit into the feature," he told The Hollywood Reporter. "We can now really focus on the world and the politics of what it is to be a magical being in Victorian steampunk atmosphere where you're seen as a lesser being." It sounds like Amazon is going to have to shell out some bucks for this, so this will be a real test if they're willing to spend the cash. Because that's one thing. I mean, I'm not trying to do a Marvel versus DC here or Nintendo versus Sega, but I'm thinking it's Netflix versus Amazon right now. Am I right? Hulu doesn't count because they have commercials. I mean, if you guys have Hulu, how much does it piss you off that there are commercials, even though you're paying the same amount as you do on Netflix? It drives me crazy. That's one thing my wife has been, where she it kind of died off for a bit. We're going to get back into it. But she was, she's been watching season one. I think she's on season two now of The Good Wife. And it drives her nuts that every few minutes there's commercials again, just like regular television. But we're paying for it every month. It's so annoying. I'm telling you. They need to, sometimes they have this feature on certain things you watch where, would you like to watch a minute-long commercial at the beginning to avoid commercials? Yes, I'll do it every time. I wish they would do that on everything. Because then you could just mute it and talk while you're waiting for that one-minute commercial to end. Oh, that's why. They know you're not paying attention. So that'll be cool. But there's one thing. There's no word on when it might debut on Amazon streaming service or who might be starring in it. So, everybody hold the phone. Hey, Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. Hey, Steven, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
Come on. Don't we have any kind of applause for this man, huh?
Yeah!
Yeah, there we go.
Deserving of that.
Now, we also, what's funny is right before you got here, Stephen, we were about to introduce another guest, and that guy is Adam Sexton. Let's see if he's on the line. Let's call him on the bat phone here. It's on the red phone, Stephen. You know, that's some serious stuff. Whenever we want to call a really big guest, we use the bat phone.
We have to.
Yeah, let's see if he's there. He's calling.
He's not there.
I don't think he's here. Now, Stephen, have you been off all week?
Yes. It's going to be weird going back after a month off.
I've noticed that I've seen you playing some...
A lot of Minecraft.
Some Minecraft. Because I've been on Xbox a lot watching HBO Go. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I've been watching The Wire for like... I binge-watched season one. Hello, Adam Sexton. Are you there?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, it's Adam, everybody. Hey. Woohoo! Hey, Adam, it is I, the J-Strom, and also Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. Hey.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Steven.
That's some weak-ass applause there.
I'll take what I can get.
How about, you know, we need something better than that. Come on. Oh, that's a touching music to it. So that's a lot better, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, Adam, it's so great to have you on the show. And we were just talking about stuff. And that's what we do here on the show. And I wanted to talk to you about stuff. And I don't know if you guys have kept up with this at all.
Nope.
But
go ahead.
Did you see that Taken 3 has come out today?
I was going to tease you about that.
About Taken 3?
Yeah.
Well, the main thing is, if I'm on the borderline...
Have we not seen this yet?
I've seen the first Taken, and I have never seen the second one.
I've seen the second one.
Have you seen the second
one,
Adam?
Mm-hmm. Not a part of the second one, but it did not hold my interest because I think I knew where it was going.
What did you think, Steven? The second one, I always heard it's not as good.
It's just the same thing. Yeah.
Well, on Rotten Tomatoes right now, Taken is at 9% rotten.
Wow.
Wow. Six fresh reviews, 62 rotten. And this is my favorite part of the tomato meter. You know, you see it's 9% rotten, which is really bad. That means it's a turd. And then audience score, 74% liked it. So what does that mean? Do you go by, you know...
So a bunch of my friends who thought the first Wolverine was really good watched it.
Yeah, they dug it, but lots of hoity-toity reviewers did not like it.
It's like, well, I mean, it's just it's regurgitated stuff, you know.
See, Taken 3 is such a blatant paycheck gig for Liam Neeson, you almost expect him to stop mid-movie to deposit his loot into an ATM.
Oh, is that how it works?
Oh, I guess that's what they're saying. It's a paycheck movie. Okay. That's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know. I dig Liam Neeson, though.
You just wonder, did he sign some deal beforehand for... X amount of movies, and it's like, well, we got Taken 3. How do you think?
Yeah, come on.
I got to get out of this contract.
I've contracted AIDS.
I think that's our only Liam Neeson drop right there.
I've got full blown AIDS.
Let's get more of those. Yeah.
My favorite thing about the Taken movies is they're directed by a guy named Olivier Megaton. That's his name. His name is Olivier Megaton. So
very powerful name.
He's directed, he directed Taken 2 and Taken 3. He did not direct the first Taken, but he did do Transporter 3.
Didn't see that one.
So, you know, that guy's a badass director. If you...
With that powerful name, yes.
Another thing...
What else could you be but a great director?
Now, Adam, have you checked out Marco Polo yet? Have you watched an episode of that?
It's been a very busy week for me since Monday, so I haven't been able to check out really anything. Since I'm day one of my weekend, I do plan to check it out because with your last ETL daily, you've worn me down. I was like, yes, I will check it out.
Did you like me reading reviews of it and getting mad?
Well, it's not so much that. It's just that it's just an audience favor, or maybe just some. I mean, like you, I suspect some people just maybe watched that first episode and then just kind of threw in the towel. But how many TV shows have you seen where the first episode is not always a clear indicator of just how well the show will do? Like sometimes it takes an episode or right. two for the show to find its way, or maybe these people with these refined palates are just nitpicky bastards or something. I can't really tell.
That's what I hate about, you know, what I love new television season when a bunch of new shows come out and I start, you know, I watch the pilots usually, and then, you know, it's like, oh, I'll watch another one, see how it goes. But there's so many, this is the TV critics' bread and butter of trashing the pilot episode, and they never go back to it. And I always think that a lot of shows have to find a groove first. You'll always notice things change after the pilot. They recast certain people, or certain people have different haircuts. They film the pilot first, and then like half a year later, they revamp certain people's
attitudes.
Yeah,
or
they
whatever.
Change whole storylines, and it's just like I honestly think, unless the show is something like Red Band Society on Fox, which I'm never going to watch, even though it's about sad kids with cancer. I pretty much am going to give it multiple chances, you know?
It was like the first season of Fringe with Joshua Jackson, real snarky, and we were like going, mm-hmm. come on, really, you got to do this?
Yeah.
And they started toning him down.
Right, right, and it got better and better.
And he got better.
Well, for instance, guys, I've been binge-watching The Wire. The first episode of The Wire, when you sit and watch that, you have no idea. I swear they introduce like 10 characters or something, and you have no idea who anyone is, but you just kind of have to keep watching. And I think by the fourth episode, I was like, okay, I kind of have a handle on who these people are. But you really got to sit down and pay attention, and you have to do your homework, I guess. And what I mean by homework is just pay attention. Don't, like, check your smartphone while you're watching it. You know what I mean?
I was just about to ask you about The Wire because as someone who has not yet made the plunge but definitely will since the HD versions are out, that's something I've heard about that show, which is that it's the show was designed for those first episodes to be like some kind of transitional thing where it's introducing you to the characters and the stakes, and there's just not enough time to contain that within a pilot. So it sounds like that's how it works with that show.
I got to tell you about The Wire that, you know, I've heard for years that, oh, The Wire, it's a great show or whatever. Dude, I finished the first season like 2 days ago. Is the most incredible television show I've ever seen. And I'm talking about someone who, I mean, I loved Breaking Bad. I think that's like the upper echelon of great television. The Wire is right up there. You could set it on the shelf right next to Breaking Bad. It's that good. It's like reading an incredible book. There's so many characters and the way they tie the different storylines together. It's, and I'm in season 2 now, and I'm already up to episode 10 of that. I've devoured season 2 in 2 days. I just started it yesterday, and I'm up to episode 10. There's 13 episodes in a season. That's how good season 2 has been. Like, dude, I can't wait. Even like before the show started, I was like, I can watch one more episode. And I got to tell you, just like, Adam, did you ever watch Breaking Bad? Have you seen it?
I am kind of took a hiatus off for unknown reasons. Like maybe I just got distracted by something else.
Right.
I have finished the first 2 seasons. So the rest are just still waiting for me on my Netflix queue.
One thing I love about shows like Breaking Bad or The Wire is that it's a serious subject, but my God, it's also so funny. There's tragic things. There's some serious shit that happens. There's some pretty, like, messed up, disturbing things that happen. But, my God, there are laughs in every episode, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just funny stuff that happens. And that's what I love about shows like that. It's just got everything. And if you watch The Wire, you will recognize the actors in it from every movie and TV show you've seen. And I realized, you know, because I think the season 1 was 2002 or something, like Broyles from Fringe. We were just talking about, you know, the Lieutenant Broyles. He's like a main character on The Wire. And you realize that J.J. Abrams is like, dude, get that guy from The Wire for this show. So many people in The Wire, they were rated for other shows when it was over because they're such outstanding actors. Bob from The Walking Dead. Most recently this season, you realize like, oh, they were on The Wire, put them in The Walking Dead. So that's why I brought that up. But it's a fantastic show. Just start watching season 1. That is after you're done with Marco Polo. Too many things to watch, isn't there? Damn it.
Yeah, I have made slow progress even on I'm getting closer and closer to the end of season 3 of Chuck. So, yeah, if I can make it through that, then Marco Polo, then The Wire. But, oh, wait a minute. I've got to watch this opener of Agent Carter. Oh, no, look at that. Archer's first new season just started. Yeah. Oh, and Justified's coming out next week. Oh, I'm doomed.
Speaking of that, Rick Lidster emailed me and he said, hey, Jason. Hey, Jason. I can't even say my own name.
Steven.
Check this out. Hey, Jason, I think it was your first ETL Daily you mentioned Chuck. I just finished watching all 5 seasons. I binged the hell out of it. So very dense with pop culture references that made me smile and probably a lot that I missed. So many great guest stars and a heap of songs that I already love. Thanks for putting me onto it. So that's cool. A Chuck convert there. How sweet is that?
Very nice.
Well, I could get Steven to watch it. But anyway,
if you got those seasons on DVD, I'll take them home.
Clearly, that's because he took a picture of it.
No, we did a whole episode on loaning out DVDs, Steven.
I wanted to talk about that. Or at least talk about how that also happened to me, but not so much with movies, but definitely with music.
Oh, like loaning CDs out and stuff?
Like loaning cassettes out. Like I've loaned a cassette that I didn't see for like 3 or 4 months because either they forgot it or they loaned out to someone who I never gave permission to. That drove me nuts.
Oh, back then in the days of cassettes, you say, bring me a blank cassette. I'll dupe it for you.
Yeah.
I did that. Yeah. I'll make you a copy. You just have to wait.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it happens to all of us. We get burned, don't we, by being generous?
We know who our friends and our enemies are by loaning out crap.
So, Agent Carter, did you guys watch that?
I saw the last half of it. I forgot it was on.
The last half of it? Did you not get to record it?
I'm recording it tonight. They're replaying it tonight.
Oh, okay.
So,
what about you, Adam? Did you watch it yet?
It's on my DVR. I've not yet had a chance to watch it, but I am definitely making it a priority.
Yeah, I dug it. I really liked it. It's a good show, and Haley Atwell as Agent Carter is awesome. So definitely check it out.
I will.
We spent some time on it. It's not like
Flipping channels. I was like, holy crap, I forgot to tag it.
I hate when I do that. I've done that too. We're like, no! And then look, they're re-airing it Saturday or something like that. Those bastards! So that's pretty cool. Adam, have you seen any movies lately?
Over the Christmas holiday, I did see the last Hobbit movie with my mother and my sister. And really, really enjoyed it. My mom and my sister were all big fans of the franchise, and we loved all the Hobbit movies. We think the Lord of the Rings movies are the trilogy is a little bit more superior, but we just love coming back to this world and these characters, and it's like comfort food for us. But Battle of the Five Armies was definitely satisfying, and I can't wait to see the extended cut because I could tell they cut out quite a bit just to get it under like 2.5 hours or so.
Yeah, Steven and I both saw it, we were entertained by it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I think the high frame rate is even better in this one.
Yeah, I think did you see in high frame rate, Adam?
Those kind of projections are not available in any of the local places, and they're definitely not available in the Podunk town where my parents live. So we had no choice but to see it in like regular 2D, but it was just fine. I mean, the scale of that was not lost, not on me anyway.
Yeah, it's just kind of a cool experience, you know. That did you get to see any of them high frame rate or not at all? Nothing.
No, not at all. It was just regular 3D in most of the theaters. So I think like the closest one that would show something like that would maybe be in either Little Rock or maybe Tulsa, Oklahoma. But I don't feel committed enough to drive all that way for that.
No, I can understand that.
Little Rock or Tulsa, huh?
Yeah.
I really like that battle at the end, just when all the dwarves arrive. I thought that was awesome. And how cool is it that Billy Connolly shows up? I thought that was so sweet.
The battle goats, the rams.
I might have read sometime earlier in the year that he was in it, but I completely forgot. So when he shows up, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Okay. Have you? Well, if you guys haven't seen Agent Carter, you haven't seen the Ant-Man teaser, have you?
Yeah, I did. Like I said, I continued watching it the last half. So.
What about you, Adam? Ant-Man teaser?
No, I haven't watched the episode, so I have not seen the teaser. I am aware that it's on there.
Right, it's on YouTube now, and
I've watched it a couple of times on YouTube.
It's hard to top Guardians of the Galaxy excited after you see a trailer. I did like the shot of him riding on the fly or whatever he's on.
Bee, wasps, or
yeah,
whatever.
That was cool. I like Paul Rudd. I always have. And I'll be willing to check it out. Yes, you know, if you want to go back to the Edgar Wright thing, I was bummed about that. But I even read an interview with Paul Rudd on Entertainment Weekly where he said that he was devastated when that happened. But what is he going to do, quit the movie? He's got a chance to be in Marvel's Ant-Man. He's going to stay on and see it to the end. And I'm glad he did. It would have been kind of lame if everybody started jumping ship, you know?
Yeah.
Because he wants to make a good movie. And while he was bummed out about it...
Do you in any way feel that maybe Edgar Wright directing a Marvel movie was probably not... like, it seems good in theory, but
right.
What they did to him and Joe Cornish's script was just, you know, uncalled for. Mm-hmm. But you don't hire Edgar Wright for, like, a director for hire. He's going to bring his own vision and his own take.
Right.
And it may not have been what Marvel wanted. I can remember Shane Black talking about how he really wanted to take Iron Man 3 to some ridiculous areas, like, in particular, how he wanted certain aspects of the villains that have the extremist virus. I mean, there was, like, supposedly he wanted to have, I think it's like the Guy Pearce character and Pepper Potts, like, have sex, have it videotaped, and they would be playing at the Home Depot where Tony Stark is gathering up equipment. Like, that was an early thing, and Marvel said, no, you're not doing that. So they appear to run a tight ship, and I'm sure that whatever Edgar Wright's doing now will be great and personal and very fantastic. But do you feel in any way that maybe his take on it would have changed too much? Or I don't know. We may never know what he would have done with it.
From what I understand about it is that Kevin Feige, I think how you say his name, who runs
Marvel. I keep hearing Feige.
Feige or Feige?
Yeah.
he says that... they did rewrite Joe Cornish and Edgar Wright's script and presented it to him. It wasn't done under the table. He said he knew the entire time it was being rewritten. It's when he was presented the new script that they rewrote with his knowledge that he realized that this isn't the film I want to make anymore. They changed it enough that I guess took away his enthusiasm, which is his right to do. And he decided, hey, let this time to friendly part ways and we remain friends, is basically what I've read since then, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, when it first happened, people were like, oh, man, they totally jacked a script without his knowledge. And that apparently isn't the case, but it was enough where he read it and he was like, you know what?
Trailer, it shows him as an executive producer still.
Right, his name's still on. Because I think a lot of his ideas are still in the movie, you know. It's not like they had time to start from scratch. But Paul Rudd did say he had a run at the script after all that shit happened. Him and Adam McKay kind of had a run at it. So it'll be interesting.
Who is directing the Ant-Man? I still keep forgetting that.
It's a guy named Peyton Reed. He directed Bring It On, the cheerleader movie, which is a classic. You know, if you guys have seen that. Hey,
you brought it on.
We've all seen it, right? It's an entertaining flick, right? But also he directed, what is that? Oh, shit. I'm going to have to look on IMDb. He did this other film that actually is with Ewan McGregor. He did Down With Love. Do you guys remember that film? Down With Love with Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger.
I remember it, but I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but I thought it was a gorgeous film. Like, it looked gorgeous. It was shot really cool.
The trailers were good.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of television, too. So I'm not going to count him out. Just remember the Russo brothers. They had directed, a fantastic Captain America film, and they did Community, okay? They did paintball episodes of Community, which, by the way, rocked. And, by the way, Joe Russo of the Russo Brothers directs the second, Agent Carter episode that aired. So it's a 2 hours. It's two different directors. Also, I've just thought of this storyline that Justin Lin is doing the next Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a lot of, I don't know where you stand on, being a Star Trek fan. Like, I myself love Star Trek. I enjoy it. I'm not like, I don't like read the books or anything like that, but I enjoyed the original series. I enjoyed The Next Generation. I enjoyed the Wharf of Wall Street video on YouTube. Have you guys ever seen that? Oh my God. That thing's. Okay.
No.
You, okay.
I have not seen that.
Have you guys seen the Wolf of Wall Street thing where it's like, and it's showing these quick clips of the, it goes, wham, 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 wham. You remember that?
Like the Kanye West song.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Have you, Adam, you just need to take a second. I don't know if you, can you watch YouTube right now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
You want me to just mute it, or
just look up the Wharf of Starfleet,
Wharf
real quick.
Of Wall Street,
and I'm going to show it to Steven real quick.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to show this to Steven real quick. Can you check it out? This is the most genius thing I've ever seen in my life.
I am Wharf, son of Moog. I now take my place as first officer. I serve the captain, but I stand for the crew. It is a good day to die.
You're outmanned, you're outgunned, you're out-equipped. What else have you got?
Guile. I am a Klingon! If you doubt it, a demonstration can be arranged.
It's your Earth drink. Prune juice.
Warrior's drink. Sir, I protest. I am not a merry man.
I have no powers. What must I do to convince you people?
Die.
So follow me, you're good. About to go. I'm doing 500, I'm out of control. But there's nowhere to go. And there's no way to slow. If I knew what I knew in the past, I would have been blacked out on your...
Well, what do you think, Mr. Wharf?
Good tea. Nice house.
In the morning, and I'm zoning, I think I'm possessed. It's an omen, I keep it 300, like the Romans, 300. We're the Trojans, baby, we living. In the moment, I've been a menace, but alone. And you know it, and you know it, and you know it, and you know it.
Asian Taf, they deja e.
God, I love that. And it's a lot funnier if you watch the Wolf of Wall Street trailer first and then that. And it, yeah. They also did, somebody did one called The Dwarf of Westeros, but I didn't think that was as good. I was like, no, Wolf of Wall Street's the best one. But it was awesome. You guys need, oh man. But so when a lot of people who are huge Star Trek fans, what they didn't like about the J.J. Abrams is they kind of turned it into an action franchise. And that's not really what Star Trek to them is all about. It's more of a cerebral type. This is Bill's words. He would always say this, so I'm saying it. It's a cerebral type thing. It's unlike Star Wars. And I agree with him that it's not the same thing as Star Wars.
Right.
It's more of a strategic kind of plan of how they deal with their conflict, right?
Right.
It's not just swashbuckling adventure.
Yeah.
So when they announced Justin Lin, the guy who's done the Fast and the Furious franchise, to do the new Star Trek, people are like, oh, it's more action crap, right? But I, on the other hand, was excited because, well, until Paul Walker died, you know, I was bummed out about that, but I was really excited of how Justin Lin had progressed as a director from, you know, if Tokyo Drift, and then he did Fast 4, and then he did Fast 5, and then Fast and the Furious 6, whatever the hell they were called. You know. And I remember I said on this show that I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some kind of franchise after this. He'll be doing like either... he'll be doing a Marvel or DC film or something like that. I just felt like he would, like he earned his, whatever word I'm trying to think of. But, and I even think at one point, wasn't he supposed to do, he was going to do the new Bourne flick with Jeremy, what's his face, right? Until the news came out that Matt Damon wanted to do another one. And then they were like, put that on the shelf. And now they're going to do the Matt Damon one. So I guess Justin Lin was like, okay, what do I do now? And they offered him Star Trek. So I'm excited about that. But how do you feel about that, Adam?
Well, to answer your question, I don't know if you come from a family of Trekkies, but I do, because my parents, my mom in particular, they grew up on the TV show. She thinks Next Generation was the best out of all of them. Mm-hmm. And my family has went to all of the movies in the theaters. I think she's telling me that it can't be the first movie that she's ever taken me to, but the earliest movie I can remember seeing was The Search for Spock. And I like the J.J. Abrams movies. I understand that they're probably not everyone's interpretation of it, but I think that the series had run itself into such a rut, both in the TV versions and definitely in the movie version, that they needed some kind of a changing course. Maybe not for, maybe if only temporary, like the direction that these two movies have taken, that's not what they had to do all the time. And in fact, they didn't always do the same thing in the rest of the series, where motion picture was going for that cerebral, more intellectual kind of plot. Mm-hmm. Like taking like a story from like the TV show and giving it this epic mythic kind of status. But then you have movies like 2 through, you know, the rest of them, while they would have shadings of either political or more moral or ethical scenarios, you did have to have like a villain, you did have to have like a conflict of some sort. And but I think just on their own, the J.J. Abrams movie had a lot of energy. They had a lot of humor. They had a lot of heart in them. And they had genuine respect and love for the characters. And that's what I responded to. And one of my Christmas gifts was the Star Trek Compendium Blu-ray set, which had the two disc sets for both of the recent films. And I think Into Darkness was a little more plot heavy, which kind of made it lower than the reboot, which was more character oriented.
Right.
But I liked them. And if they were just like dry runs for what J.J. Abrams is going to do with Star Wars, I'm particularly fine with it.
Yeah.
So as far as Justin Lin, I'm not as familiar with his track record. But to me, the greater problem with the third movie is what story are they going to tell?
Right.
And if they want to follow through with the way that Into Darkness ends, which is we are going to start on the 5-year journey where it'll be explorations. You can have conflicts, you can have stuff like that. But I don't think that you can do a movie like Into Darkness ever again.
Right. And they definitely can't. Just stop repeating stories from the show.
Right.
Something new. I mean, it was
That's
kind
why
of,
I was wondering if
I
they
mean,
would just...
basically, it, they did a spin on The Wrath of Khan. They changed it up. They tried to trick people that it wasn't Khan, but we all know it is now. they referenced Harry Mudd. They had tribbles in it. You know, that kind of thing. So do a new thing.
You do nods and winks now
Show
and again.
Show
us okay.
how clever you can be and do something new, you know. Introduce a new race. I don't care. Just do something new. You don't have to repeat things. In fact, just go to war with the Klingons. That would be cool.
I was about to say that. The Klingons have been getting the shaft in both these movies. So I see like there's an impending war, or you can have like something like they did in Undiscovered Country where they had to have like a peace summit to try to settle things between the Federation and the Klingons. You could do something like that because I think the Klingon stuff has been brief but very interesting. So
do like Das Boot in space kind of thing, something like that. where they're, you know, how many times has the Enterprise hidden in some kind of nebulon cloud or some shit, you know? Even in Galaxy Quest, didn't they hide in the minefield? You know, you always have to hide your ship in something. It's just like submarine combat, right?
Right.
But hell, do that. I don't care. Just as long as it's an awesome film, I think people will like it. And I think they did a good job. The new cast, you know, were
well. They've done that in the TV show. They've hidden in the ionosphere.
Right.
Whatever.
Blah, it's blah. Just you know what you do in those stories. You have to hide. It's just like submarine combat, but. Carl Urban is McCoy. He's probably one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'm getting off topic here, but...
Do they even know who's writing the movie?
All I know is Roberto Orci is out, so I don't know who's writing
it. Okay.
Their idea to bring William Shatner into it just sounded like a bad idea.
Yeah, that's...
Like,
yes.
No more time traveling or any of that stuff.
Nonsense.
You know, the part that I thought was a cheat... And I really did. I've seen Star Trek Into Darkness twice. Spock totally cheats when he calls older Spock, doesn't he? And he's like, hey, let me ask you about this guy named Khan. And he's like, oh, Khan. You know, I've told you that I in no way would interfere with your time. I would not give you any hints or change anything. However... Khan, and yet it's just like, whoa, you're totally cheating. And you're also cheating the story, I think, too. I don't know. And another thing, this is kind of a weird theory I have, and I don't think anyone else has brought it up. But have you guys seen the Twizzler commercial with the Enterprise? Everybody's seen that Twizzler commercial, right? It's like Star Trek Enterprise flying made of Twizzlers.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that commercial, right? Well, in the beginning of Star Trek Into Darkness, they're on a Twizzler planet, are they not? Look, they're in a jungle of Twizzlers. Doesn't it look like that? And I'm wondering, is there some kind of like Twizzler tie-in to the movie that they just didn't put it out or deal fell through? But they're on a Twizzler planet at the beginning. I was waiting for McCoy or like Kirk to pull off a branch and go, delicious branches or something.
Or it could be a Red Vines insert. You never know.
Yeah, Red Vines, Sudum, and those look more like Red Vines and Twizzlers. I don't know. It's kind of silly, but you know what I'm saying. I just forget I brought that up.
Cut it out.
But you guys definitely check out Agent Carter.
I'll probably watch it tonight when I get home.
Have you guys watched the... I don't know if you watched this, Adam, but have you guys watched the season premiere of Celebrity Apprentice?
No, I completely forgot it was on.
I as always, depend on your recaps. So, no, I never feel like I ever have to watch those shows.
The most entertaining part of... I wish I had audio of it right now, but, you know, there's a lot of train wreck... celebrities this year. You know, you've got Terrell Owens. You've got my favorite is Lorenzo Lamas, who obviously, you know, the guy back in the day, he was a good looking guy. You know, he was the Renegade. Remember that show? He's obviously really vain because he's obviously had Botox or something and he just looks weird now. Just looks strange. Gilbert Gottfried's on the show.
He always looks weird no matter what.
Yeah. So their first task is, you remember, every season it always starts with a fundraising thing where you try to raise the most money for charity while making sandwiches or pizzas. This year they're doing cupcakes. No, not cupcakes. They're doing pies. They've done cupcakes before. This year it's pies. And Trump is like... And we have a special judge to judge your pies. His name is the Cake Boss. Buddy the Cake Boss will be coming by each of your bakeries and checking them out. And it's so funny when Buddy's like, hey, I'm here to try out your pies. And they're like standing there. Everybody's like, that was pretty delicious. You could use a little salt there or whatever. I was like, what the hell's Buddy doing on Celebrity Apprentice? But it cracked me up. I think it's probably his, remember that DUI he got? He was doing the
community service,
yeah. But, Geraldo is like the main guy. He's the project manager.
Right.
And of course, he raises an insane amount of money and kicks the women's ass. And here's the other thing.
Yeah, I'd want to be on his team because he knows everybody.
Right. Well, Keisha Knight Pulliam, who you know from The Cosby Show. And, you know, Donald Trump is like, I noticed you didn't call Mr. Cosby. You didn't raise very much money. And you would think you could call your TV dad, Mr. Dr. William H. Cosby, and you could have gotten a lot of money. Why didn't you call him? She's like, well, I have my reasons, and I haven't spoken to the guy in like 30 years, so...
I saw a video, she said 5 years.
5 years or whatever. So, I think she says 30 years on the show, though, or maybe 20 years. But she said she hasn't spoken to him for a long time.
Either way, good for her.
And it might have been, you know... She might have seen him in passing, not even talked to him. Just
right,
like,
right.
Hey.
But she basically said, I'm not going to just call the guy out of the blue and ask for money, even though that's what you're supposed to do. You need
right.
to do.
Right, that's exactly the
gig. But what's funny is this show was shot before all this big controversy came out. I think people have known, like, kind of hints of it throughout the years.
Right.
But we didn't know a lot of it until now, recently. They filmed this, like, last year, I think.
Right.
And so I was wondering if her reasons were because, yeah, I don't really want to call a rapist asking for some money. I don't know. But it was just kind of interesting how the show was dating itself by having that on the show.
Right.
And I was like, wow, they're really dating this episode. Like, my favorite, I cannot wait until Joan Rivers.
The first episode.
Like, your special judge today will be Joan Rivers. And you're like, wait a second. I thought she died. What is she doing on here? It's like, we're not trying to fool you. Yes, this show was filmed last year.
Next week, we got Robin Williams as a guest.
Oh, don't.
We didn't know they were going to die.
Yeah, that would have been like, wow. But, oh, man, fun times, right? Yeah, I really want to cover the show the right way with clips and stuff. So we're definitely going to do that. Now, Adam, I hope that you are a fan of Spider-Man 3. So you probably know what I'm going to talk about here, right?
I do. I don't hate it, but I do find it's the lesser of those three movies.
The way people remember it now is like the worst superhero movie ever. Do you think that's a little much?
No, I don't think it's the worst. No one has seen, no one has apparently seen, like, you know, Batman and Robin. It's not that incompetent.
The Phantom with Billy Zane. Probably, or...
Yeah, it's probably bloated. It probably makes some bad decisions here and there. But it is nowhere near the worst that comic book movies have ever offered us.
There's an article on Comics Alliance this guy did. It was titled, I Still Like Spider-Man 3, Even If Sam Raimi Does It. And basically what happened is Sam Raimi was on the Nerdist podcast and he started talking about Spider-Man 3, where basically he says that it was the worst. He basically said he admitted he made a lot of mistakes in the movie, and a lot of it had to do with Sony fighting with him on the final script, basically. I don't think he ever wanted Venom in the film. I think he wanted it to be Sandman and Green Goblin, you know, James Franco's Green Goblin. And they wanted more bad guys or whatever. And it's the same problem they had with Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, let's see how much we can cram into this, right? I think a lot of people remember the goofiness of Peter Parker being evil.
Right.
But when I rewatch that, I love that sequence. And it's because the symbiote of Venom, it attaches to your body and it feeds off your anger or your bad feelings, right?
Right.
Supposedly,
right.
In the movie. I don't know if the comic book version does it exactly the same way. But Peter is a very pure at heart dude, right? So when he is evil, he's still kind of a dork, even though he's the evil guy, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that he thinks a badass would play like jazz piano, you know, and do some dance moves is hilarious to me. And that's why, like, I think that part of the movie is funny. It says a lot about who Peter Parker is. I mean, yeah, he does. I can't remember. Doesn't he like shove Mary Jane or something? And it's like everyone's like,
knocks her
like
down.
Knocks her over or whatever. But
he takes advantage of the landlord's daughter who always brings him like cookies or whatever.
She brings him like chocolate
cake. Go get some more. These are good.
Right.
Yeah, he's so evil.
Yeah, I just think it's funny.
I need some more cookies and milk.
And I think the funny thing that they point out there is this came out the same summer as Batman Begins. And I didn't even remember that. That it was like the audience was more like, no, we're ready for Christopher Nolan's take on Batman. We don't want this goofy, you know, if you go back, if you haven't watched Spider-Man 3, it is pretty, Sam Raimi's always had this sense of humor. Watch Evil Dead 2.
Right.
He loves slapstick. He loves the Three Stooges. And it has that goofy sense of humor in there. Think of like every time Peter's trying to propose to Mary Jane, but things keep happening. He has to keep pulling the ring away, you know? And I love like see when he sees even like the diamond ring in the window where it has the price tag. It's so comic booky, that part, you know.
Yeah,
it's like the comic book more than a movie. So I think it still has its merits. It's just a shame that people remember things that way. I remember when they first announced The Hobbit. Do you remember one of the rumors was that Guillermo del Toro was going to direct The Hobbit?
Right.
In fact, he still has a screenwriting credit on the films, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the rumors is, what if Sam Raimi did The Hobbit? And I read people go, no. Have you seen Spider-Man 3? There's no way this guy could direct The Hobbit. And I was like, I will kick your ass. How dare you say such a thing?
I take great offense to that.
Have you guys not seen Army of Darkness? Come on. But Sam Raimi has always been one of my favorite directors from the first time I saw Evil Dead 2. So, I mean, I can't wait till he does something else, you know?
Run home and cry to mama.
I can't. Well, we know what he's doing next is the Evil Dead series for Stars. I know he's directing the first episode at least, so it's going to be awesome. I mean, Edgar Wright, just look at his work like in Spaced. Totally, it's all his main influence. You feel like the camera work and everything was Sam Raimi there.
Oh, yeah.
Heavily influenced by that.
He does cite it as an influence. I mean, like a top 10 list. He usually submits one to like Empire whenever they do like a, you know, top 200 or 300 greatest movies of all time, and that usually makes his list. So it's a big one for him.
Sam, yeah, there's even a clip there in that article where they just show the symbiote of Venom on the floor hiding. From basically, Peter's asleep in bed and he's having a nightmare or something where he's really pissed off or whatever. He's feeling like anxiety and hatred and stuff. So the symbiote comes to life and it's coming towards him. But it's like the Evil Dead. Remember in the movie, it's like it's coming towards the bed. And then Peter sits up and he looks and you see the camera. It's from the camera's point of view. It hides behind stuff so he can't see it. And that whole sequence, the way it's edited and shot, is just brilliant. It's Sam Raimi at the height of his powers. And it just makes me. I still think he has a lot of great films to make, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In the future. And I didn't mean to get off subject there. So what else are you talking about?
it's perfectly okay to like them like a flawed movie, even if you know, the director doesn't feel that way about it. Like the fact, I mean, I've grown to admire like Alien 3, especially the little special edition cut that came out with the quad trilogy, even if David Fincher wants nothing to do with it.
Right.
I think it's held up over time, despite the fact that I still consider it a what-if scenario. For me, Ripley's story ends with her and Newt going home.
Oh, yeah. And,
if James Cameron wants to give me a happy ending for characters who've been put in hell over the course of two movies,
right,
then fine. I will accept that.
If you want to get into why Alien 3 made me pissed when I saw it, is that the whole point of Aliens is, at the end, was Ripley going back for Newt. So then you're telling me Newt just dies anyway as soon as they get on the ship. And so does Hicks and so does Bishop or whatever. Well, he was a robot, but still, it basically negates aliens when you start Alien 3. Like, oh, none of those people matter. They're dead. And it's supposed to be a tragedy and everything. And sure, the film is shot beautifully. It's gorgeous to look at, David Fincher. But it still pisses me off whenever it's on. And I don't even think the alien effects are very good in it either. But
well, I mean, it accomplishes quite a bit for being a seriously compromised production. And
right. I know they have a hell of a time.
As far as being very nerdy about the little small details, the idea that the alien queen would have had the wherewithal to bring a separate egg with her, despite the fact that Ripley blew up the egg laying apparatus, you know, to hell and back. Mm-hmm. That's the thing you've got to accept. And I was like, there's no way that she would have thought to do that.
It's just like they had a table of scripts and they had different scenarios and they're like, well, yeah, we could do this one.
This is the least objectionable.
She crash lands on a prison planet and there's a lice quarantine. She'll have to shave her head. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. Well, let's check this out. And you know what I think I said this on the show a long time ago. My main problem with the entire film comes down to a sound effect. When they got the sound effect wrong, I was like, F this movie. And you know what it is? At the very end, when the bishop shows up, the new bishop, he's got dudes with pulse rifles from aliens, right? They fire the pulse rifle. One of them does. It doesn't sound like a pulse rifle. It's just like a machine gun going like that. And I go, oh, hell no. Did that just sound like a regular machine gun, a pulse rifle? They didn't even take the time to make it sound like
the same
a friggin' pulse rifle. I mean, isn't that bullshit? There's just stuff like that. It pulled me out of the movie. And I remember when I left, you know, I'm a really like laid back guy. I let the movie come to me, but I walked out of that theater stomping my feet like, oh, the hell with this movie, right? You guys want to remember, this is what a pulse rifle sounds like.
Let's rock!
That's a pulse rifle. It's not, you know. This is what it sounded like in Alien 3. I haven't seen the director's cut. Do they fix that sound effect, by the way?
I haven't seen it in a while, but maybe the Marine Corps gets all the good stuff and the Weyland-Yutani Corp gets the crap. I don't know.
Right. Those bastards.
The bastards.
Is it dorky that bothers me, you guys, or do you guys agree? I want to know if anyone's on board with me. Come on.
I understand.
I'd have to see it again to really know if it bothered me, but I mean, you know, whatever.
Like, that's not a friggin' pulse rifle. It's like, what the hell? How did they get that wrong? Man, that pissed me off. And then Alien 4 is just a whole different kind of cluster F, isn't it?
Let's not go there.
Okay,
it's hard break,
but
no matter what.
Ron Perlman shoots a spider. That is the best part of the movie, though, isn't it? Mary's climbing the ladder, and he goes, ah! There's a spider in the way, and he goes, shoots it. That's like so funny.
You weren't thrilled about the b-ball skills on display?
Yeah. I don't even know. Let's put a basketball scene. It's kind of like, which was worse, that basketball sequence or the one at Escape from L.A. where Snake Plissken has to shoot free throws? He has to shoot free throws.
Oh, God.
I remember in the making of, they were like, actually, this shot, Kurt Russell, you know, he couldn't see with his eye patch, and he still made the shot. It's like, that's great and all, but it still doesn't mean this movie doesn't suck ass.
Yeah,
not a huge fan of Escape from L.A.,
I'll give it to Alien Resurrection, but that's probably the only thing I'll give to Alien Resurrection.
What is better than Escape from L.A.?
The basketball scene's better. Yeah, that's high praise indeed.
Holy shit, I didn't realize Banshee returns tonight. Have you guys ever watched that show?
Just with you.
I need to get caught up on it.
Banshee's an effed up show. If you want to watch an effed up show, you got to watch that.
I miss the effed up shows. Apparently, does Marco Polo feel in any way effed up, or do they go through, or does it have like a similar feel to like a period TV show like Game of Thrones?
It's definitely effed up. There's violence and nudity, awesome. Just as there is in Game of Thrones, you know.
Or Spartacus.
I actually went back and listened to a collection of Spartacus recaps that y'all did back in the day.
Oh, really?
And it's still available through the website, and it's just funny. I've got to watch the show at some point because how y'all kind of marvel at the fact, like, oh my God, there's so much blood, there's so much TNA, everyone's grinding on each other. I was like, man, I've got to check this out.
The
way they talk is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. If you listen to the very first episode we cover, we're kind of like, don't know what to make of it, and are kind of making fun of it. And then by the third episode, we're like, this show's like kind of good, man. And then by
like you said, it was one of those ones. The first episode was like going, it's kind of wonky.
Yeah, kind of crazy out there, kind of ridiculous.
But you give it a chance, and it's like, oh. And then by the effects get better.
By the finale, it's like, this is like one of the greatest shows ever, dude. And then, like, you know, unfortunately, the stuff happened with Andy Whitfield, and then they had Gods of the Arena, which was also really good, the Gannicus season. And then they had the next season with Liam McIntyre, and I never did watch the final season.
I didn't either.
We need to do that, make a project of it. I just saw Liam McIntyre is going to be cast as a villain in the Flash TV series, so that's pretty cool. What do you think about that, Adam? Pretty cool?
Yeah, why not? He needs work.
I love the Flash. That's a fun show. I mean, if we're going to talk about, say there's picture a shelf in your mind, and it has TV shows on the shelves. On the top shelf is Breaking Bad, and I haven't finished The Wire yet, but it's up there, along with something like Band of Brothers. Remember how great that first series was? Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The Flash is kind of like on the middle section, you know. It's really good, but it's not up there.
It's right there with kind of maybe Fringe is just above it.
Fringe is definitely on the second shelf. Yeah. It's my favorites, and Chuck is up there with
it. Chuck is on there.
Like, Chuck is like actually in a lockbox with where you can see it through bulletproof glass.
You're protective of Chuck.
Yeah, you can see it, and it's also wired. You go, is that C4 in there? Holy shit! If I try to crack this safe, it's gonna blow up. Because I'm like Mad Max. I'd rather just blow up the thing I love than letting you have it, kind of thing. So. I think my whole shelf thing has just gone out the window. It makes no sense at all. I think I'd be over there going, no, I'm moving this down here, moving this back up here, and then let's take this off the shelf. I don't know why Gilligan's Island is even up here. So, and then like a week later, I'm like, okay, Gilligan goes back. Come on. But we're definitely taking Alice off the shelf because that wasn't as good as I remember it.
Come on, you gotta hand it because Vera was on Gotham.
Vera, I haven't seen the latest Gotham.
Oh, Vera!
Oh, awesome! Huge Vera fan.
Yeah, my brother was like, "Is that Vera from?"
Is that Vera?
I was like, yes.
Only guys our age would say that. Hey, are you guys Wet Hot American Summer fans? Have you guys seen that film?
No.
What about you, Adam? Okay, so this doesn't matter, but. Netflix ordered the Wet Hot American Summer series, and it's going to have the cast of the movie in a series, like Elizabeth Banks, Amy Poehler, Christopher Maloney, Paul Rudd, Bradley Cooper.
Oh, was it the summer camp movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
David Wayne and Michael Showalter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They've turned it into a series for Netflix, so that's going to be pretty cool. So I talked about this before the early part of the show, before you guys arrived, and it was about Chris Carter had sold a show to Amazon called The After. It was like Doomsday is happening, the apocalypse, or some crazy shit's happening. I don't know if you guys watched the pilot. You can watch it for free on Amazon. And they picked it up for a full series a year ago, like 13 episodes. And I'm like, oh, wow, what are they going to do with this? Well, this week, Amazon announced they just canceled the series. They never even started filming it. And I was just like, dude, what the hell happened there? Did they like decide it was going to cost too much? Did they look at Chris Carter's plan for the series and go, dude, this show's not going to work? Or I wonder what
happened.
That's
too much like this. Or
did they get in some kind of like, because Amazon wants to be Netflix right now. They want to have these shows
right
that make people subscribe to it. Because one thing, if you want Amazon streaming, you have to pay $99 for an entire year up front. There's no monthly fee. It's just a one-time fee for a year. And that's what keeps me from using that service. Like, I'll buy, like, an episode of something if I need to watch it, and that's the only place to see it. But it's hard to spring, like, $100. Am I right? Do you have Amazon streaming, Adam?
I had for a while, and I definitely took advantage of it during the trial period. But despite the fact that you get, you'll get like a music streaming service, you'll get the free shipping on items.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
You'll get, if you have a Kindle book, you'll get like a free book every month. But
oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you have to have like a Kindle device on it. I think the selection that they had, and I think I had Prime like 2 years ago. This was before they jacked up the price. I think it was like $80 then, and they increased right. it to $100, which I understand that was probably bound to happen. I mean, we're going to get a slight increase for Netflix. I think this year is when Instant bumps up a couple of bucks. But
usually they raise it like by $1.99 or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah. What is Netflix now?
It's $7.99 or is it $8.99?
If you've kept your membership current for like a few years, you're able to hold on to the $7.99 price until I want to say May of this year, where they jack it up a little bit.
It's all I know is with tax, it's under $9.
Right.
Month. And I do watch it quite a bit. My daughter watches it quite a bit because she doesn't have a cable box in her room, a DirecTV box. So all she watches
so
is
So it's
Netflix.
A little over 100 a year.
So mm-hmm. deprived.
So if you look at it that way, Amazon's the same. You just have to pay it all at once. Now, Amazon, if you order a lot of things from Amazon, that free shipping on everything is awesome deal.
And I order quite a bit.
So that's a pretty good deal.
I order my CPAP supplies and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it. And you know what? I have the Kindle app on my phone. I do read books on my phone, and I could use it on the tablet too, the same account.
Right.
So that's one a month is pretty cool.
But that's the thing. You need a Kindle device. The app isn't enough. Like,
oh, bastards.
Yeah.
I guess I would have to buy
that's
device.
The thing.
Kindle Fire.
They went and got me on that. Damn it.
But those things are cheap, too.
They're yeah, they are. I wouldn't mind really having a Kindle, because priced. Basically when I'm reading on my phone, I'm just running the battery down, you know?
I mean, that's exactly, you know, my iPad, I read on it versus killing my phone. So, yeah, I keep separate devices, you know? I have a music player. I don't put music on my phone. Everybody, why don't you put it on your phone? I'm like, no, it'll kill the, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kill the battery.
You get a battery pack thing. but that basically what Amazon wants to do is create shows where people are like, oh, I got to get Amazon to watch that. You know,
they're going to have to start lower end, less production value stuff.
Yeah, except for why can't I say this dude's name? Guillermo del Toro is trying to do some kind of fantasy series for Amazon. So they're going to have to spring some bucks for that, right?
That's probably where Chris Carter's money went.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're going to go with Guillermo del Toro. We just
bigger name.
We just finished rewatching X-Files on Netflix. Final season's kind of sucked, dude. What happened to Dave Duchovny? Well, you know, he wanted to do other things or whatever. Well, yeah, it just doesn't work for us. Do you guys remember that they brought in Robert Patrick in, like, the final season? And he kind of replaced him, which I had no problem with. I love Robert Patrick. But come on, David Duchovny was the star of the series.
Who else is going to believe?
Yeah. All right, Adam, here's the prerequisite gaming question. What game are you playing right now?
Well, I'm still going through Shadow of Mordor. It's this, you know, that it's like one of the best attempts at an open world action game that I've still got. And I've been playing for well over 20 hours, and according to the progress bar, I'm like maybe under 40%. So this is a bigger game than I thought it would be. I did jump into Destiny for just a little bit to do some bounties, but I've got so many items that require like that radiant shard or something, something you can only get through like a raid
or a
Nightfall strike. And I have not been online that much with other people in order to do something like that. One of the things that I hope gets implemented between now and maybe the next game, or even with the next game, is that they should find a matchmaking service for the raids.
Yes, definitely. You shouldn't have to have five friends to do it with. You should just team you up with some people, because I haven't even done a raid in the game.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that in World of Warcraft, where you can go through like a dungeon or something like that, but I guess maybe the game is still in its infancy or whatever. Have you heard about... I was listening to a video game podcast earlier this week. Maybe you've heard of the Giant Bomb cast.
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, they have like a news section, and they released they talked about some there was like a leak, some leaked information from a press conference, or maybe just a board meeting, about some upcoming information regarding upcoming expansion packs for Destiny, where after the upcoming one, I think it's called the House of Wolves, and that's supposed to come in early March. I thought it was February, but apparently it's like early March. In September, which is like the years, unless something changes, this is all subject to change, of course. In September, there's going to be a really big expansion pack, bigger than the ones we've got so far, where they're going to give you like I heard something like a dozen story missions, like four or five raids. You'll get upgrades to your equipment. You'll get a extra subclass for every class.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And then I think we're supposed to get two smaller expansion packs, maybe similar to the ones we've already got, and then the sequel will come out. And there's not a whole lot of information to go on, but maybe it'll just be like a little smaller upgrades between that and now and then. But it'll be interesting to see how this thing goes forward, because this is still this may seem clumsy the way that they put this material together, but still they're trying something new.
The game is fun to play, and the mechanics of the game are perfect. What I mean is, like, the controls and how you fight and everything, it's awesome. The thing that I finally was like, you know what, I'm burnt out, is that you do the same thing over and over and over again. And I need more story to keep me... I kind of set that aside for a while and just did... Daily bounties. Yeah, I did those too, but the strikes. I did strikes every day or whatever. To finally, it was like, you know, you just want more weapons or to upgrade them or upgrade your armor. And finally, like, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I just realized I didn't feel like logging in anymore. And the last time I logged in was actually this week when I got an email from Bungie saying, you have a Christmas gift or whatever for the new year. And I was like, oh, let me go see what it is. And it was a new gun, a legendary gun. I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay, I'm done. And then I logged out. But I think when that new expansion comes out, I'll pick it up again. Because another thing is that Steven can attest to this. Like, last year, early in the year, I was writing every day. And Destiny was like, I could write or I could play Destiny. Now I've chosen I'm going to write instead of play the game. There'll be a time where I'll get back into playing some game or whatever, but I'm making time for writing right now.
The game will always be there.
Right.
It's not going away.
But they definitely... I really was expecting more storyline, more Peter Dinklage. When they did the expansion and he wasn't even on it as your little personal robot, I was like, dude, what the hell? They're like, nah, we don't need Dinklage for this. That's what it felt like, you know? And I thought there was going to be an ongoing storyline, that this was chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, and the story continues. But instead, it was this kind of little side thing that had nothing to do with the first part. It was just like an introduction. I don't know. I just expected more. And, you know, I held off being disappointed for a long time. I'd be like, now, Jason, just wait to see what they have to offer. Be very patient. And I was. And when that expansion came out, I was like, you know what? I think I agree with all these people who have been pissed off all this time.
Well, to me, it's not that there's not a story or they don't have anything planned out. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that I think that needs to die, it is this trend with the second screen app experience thing. Like I think there's just this thought of, I mean, you and Bill have talked about watching Banshee in the past and how they would have that stupid hashtag thing at the bottom right of the screen. Like they are expecting you. They are thinking that you are tweeting while you are watching this. And I think there's a misconception that people just don't do that. But when they tried to do that with games, they tried to do that with the Watch Dogs games that came out earlier this year. And by regulating most of your story and plot information to another website, or maybe they're hoping that you'll install the Destiny app on your phone, I think that cut away from it. Why not just put it in a menu like in an Assassin's Creed game, where if you come, say you come to a location, you'll get like a notification about you can go press select or start or whatever, and you can read some text that'll give you like a backstory on the place or the person that you meet.
Yeah, that seems like a storyline cheat. Like, I need to go read about this?
Yeah, I just want to play the game. I don't want to rely on the computer. I usually play by myself or something, so I don't have someone to read information off to me. I mean, this whole second screen thing, this fad, it just needs to die off. And if they do another sequel, keep it all in the game disc or make it a download or something.
Yeah, the only this just
doesn't work.
The second tablet thing only works if it's an interactive game show or something, not like a narrative TV show.
Yeah.
I don't want to be looking at my tablet while I'm watching a show. You know what I mean?
Like SingStar or the You Don't Know Jack, where you can your phone is the controller.
Yeah, don't they? I mean, Walking Dead every week they do that. Like, get out your tablet now or something.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, I'm not. No, I'm watching your stupid show.
You want me to watch your show, or do you want me to?
Do you not want me to pay attention? Tweet about every moment of this show right now. It's like, no, I'm not going
spoil
to.
Spoil everything for people who follow you on Twitter.
I can't believe so-and-so just died. Man, bummer. Hashtag sucks for that guy. Or something like that.
Sucks to be Glenn.
No! But, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is a really dumb trend. And the hashtag's driving us too. But, you know, also Banshee drove us nuts because I had the super bright orange Banshee down the corner. It's like, yeah, I know it's Banshee. I'm watching it.
I don't need the watermark down at the bottom.
Oh, what am I watching? Oh, yeah, I'm watching Banshee. It's like, if you think your audience is that dumb, Jesus, just have it flash on the screen every once in a while. You were watching Banshee. Like, scroll down.
That'd be more annoying.
I know. It's just like, just keep insult us even more, you know.
Tweet about it. Be with the rest of the hive. Be like everyone else.
Yeah. Hey, sheep. Are you watching this show?
Conform.
Hey, I want to read this story to you guys and see if either one of you groan or care. How close is Melissa McCarthy to signing on to the Ghostbusters reboot?
Don't care.
I wish him the best of luck, but whatever. I'm not waiting with bated breath as to whether or not they can pull it off. I mean, if it turns out okay, if the trailers show promise, then I don't think it should be a reboot.
I think it should be the Ghostbusters with Bill Murray. Dan Aykroyd should be in it too. Obviously, Egon won't be in it. They could have some kind of reference to him or picture Ernie Hudson. But the guys are old and they're tired, and a new bucks come in, and they're training those guys. And then they could launch a new
franchise
off of that. You know what I mean? They don't I don't want to see a reboot with the new origin. That's the one thing about reboots that kind of gets annoying, especially with comic book things like Spider-Man. It's like everybody knows already. Don't stop telling us. You know, Superman came from Krypton. How many times have we seen freaking Batman's parents shot in that alley? And how many movies? I remember what's funny is recently Batman Forever was on like HBO, and I go, holy shit, they show Batman's parents get killed in this too. And it's already been established. But remember the whole thing with the mind-sucking thing the Riddler has. I forget, but for some reason, Bruce Wayne is remembering his parents getting shot for the 100th time. And even on, you know, the way Gotham begins, that TV show, it's like, oh, they're getting shot again. Has somebody done a YouTube video of how many times that the Waynes get gunned down in the alley and the pearls fall? Remember, the guy pulls the pearls and they fall in slow-mo and the kid's like, ah! We've seen it so many times.
Everyone's got to treat the sequence like it was in the Dark Knight graphic novel. We got to rip off. We got to treat them like screenshots.
Yeah.
Got to rip them off as many times as possible.
And then, you know, I won't even get into Batman or the guy who killed his parents was Jack Nicholson in the Tim Burton one. Remember they made it into that. Jack is dead, my friend. But, So, there's that.
So, we don't
know if Melissa
McCarthy or not. A reboot of the Ghostbusters.
This town needs an enema.
Well, other names have been thrown around have been Emma Stone, Lena Dunham, so
Kristen Wiig, all them.
Don't do it. Just stop. Hey, Adam, you want to complain? Let's talk more about the Terminator reboot.
What can we say that hasn't already been said that won't lead us to the hard break?
You know, do you ever read Ain't It Cool News?
Every now and then, but usually I go for whatever the TV section that Quint does.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll read his stuff.
Yeah, what's funny is... you know how I love to, like, read Harry's writing and then make fun of it? Just, like, how bad it is or what of a loot whore he is about his collection of things, and he loves to name drop who he knows. He does this DVD section where he talks about the DVDs that have come out every week. And he's like, well, click on this and buy it on Amazon, and I get a little piece of the action there. So he helps support the site. He hadn't done an article since October, and people were like, dude, where the hell's Harry? You know, why is he not doing this? What else does he have to do? And finally he wrote, he came back for the new year and he did his first DVD section and he goes, sorry, I was suffering from a bout of writer's block. And people are like, writer's block about a DVD section? Whoa, what is it that you need? And so people were making fun of, oh, you couldn't make up stories? You couldn't come up with anything? Or
couldn't regurgitate the details of the supplements like you usually do?
Right. And it was so funny. I know it's mean and cruel, but when I read people's comments, they're so mean and horrible, but I just read them like and some of them are like, oh Jesus, see, that guy went too far or something, but they're always horrible things. But just the fact that he cited writer's block for his DVD column,
I was in the hospital sick. Just lie.
People are like, you keep saying that this is important to support the site, and then you're gone for several months, and then you come back and saying that you had writer's block. It's like, just say, okay, this week of Guardians of the Galaxy came out. I really like this movie. What did you guys think? It's got some cool extras. That's all you got to say. You don't have to, like, what are you blocked for? I don't understand.
He's talking about writing for his upcoming second season of that stupid YouTube show he did.
Right, and that's another thing that if you click on any article he writes, you know, he writes about the latest DVDs, but people are always like, "Hey Harry, what about your Kickstarter?" I don't know if you guys realize this. When was that Kickstarter? Was it 2013?
I don't know.
I think it was early 2013. And he met the goal at the last minute, and people were, like, calling bullshit on that. Like, dude, I remember telling Bill, dude, look at the Kickstarter. There's no way he's going to make it, man. It's kind of embarrassing. And, dude, an hour later, it was like he exceeded the goal. I was like, huh? How did that happen? It was just kind of screwy. Well, you know, one of the different – there's, you know, of course, when you have a Kickstarter, you have different prizes. Nobody was given any prizes. Nobody heard anything. And now it's 2015. Still, it hasn't come out. People are talking class action lawsuit and all this stuff. It's so funny. And finally, he said, well, we're – finally getting this show thing in gear, and I'll be announcing something soon. It's like, oh, you're going to announce something? Jesus! It's just funny. I'm entertained by the people harassing him. I know it's horrible because I don't like cyberbullying or anything like that. I think people are assholes on, online, basically, in comment sections. But for some reason on that one, I'm entertained by it. Is that horrible? Am I a hypocrite? I don't know.
If you were an investor for something like that, I mean, I'm sure you'd have some cause after enough time had went by and there had been no progress on activity. Definitely. And this is not the first time I've heard of a Kickstarter project where there was support for it and then there was just absolutely no activity. So, I mean, they have a right to be curious or inquisitive if they invested in it, but I mean, trolls are trolls, and you can't do anything about them.
The fact that he just wouldn't say anything about it and update them, like I would update people regularly, like just every week or something. But the fact that you don't even bother, I think that's what drove everybody nuts. Yeah, it's like not a word, and you just do do your little columns, and you never mention it would kind of drive you batshit.
The one I just did, I supported two recently, mm-hmm. was Flaming Carrot and the Pixies Volume 1 photo album book. And they postpone both of them, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just like...
Do they give you your money back? Or they
no,
say,
no, no.
Thanks, we're gonna...
I've got them. They've all come in now, you know, but...
Oh, okay.
But like one of the Flaming Carrot one, he offered all these other things. I got all the other prizes... Minus the last book.
As long as he keeps you informed, you don't get pissed, right? But if he never would have said anything, would you have been checking the mail every day and going, dude, what's
up? I kept looking on there, and it's like, he was like going, things are going to the printer. You know, Bob was like, yeah, things are going to the printer. Or the original one that they got all edited and everything. Got lost, blanked out or something. His hard drive crashed. He had the old backup before
Holy
it got
shit.
Edited.
Yeah.
And that's the one that they wound up producing. You know, he's like, yeah, it's the rough draft. There's mistakes in there, but, you know, I couldn't hold up printing anymore just to run through this and fix little things.
Oh, I bet that, like, publishing and getting the final things out, there's probably so, like... annoying and aggravating.
And
just...
Pixies one had to be signed by, you know, three different people. And it was like getting everybody in the same place to sign stuff was a nightmare.
Right.
And so both of them got postponed like a couple of months for the final prize or whatever. But I got all the little premature prize, you know, the little gifts in between.
That's cool. It's cool to do stuff like that, isn't it? I the only one we did is because Heather said, go on there right now and do this. It was, I take that back. I've done one also, but it was the Veronica Mars Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was one of Heather's favorite shows, and I jumped online. I go, how much you want to do, like $10? And she's like, no, over 200. What do they got on there? And it's like, holy shit, you know? Because I realize now if, like, they ever did a Kickstarter for, like, a Chuck movie, I'd be like, dude, how much can we possibly give them? But actually, Zachary Levi did a fundraiser. It wasn't Kickstarter. It was a different site, like one of the ones that's just like it. I forget.
Right.
They have different names.
Crowdfunding.
Something like that. I can't remember what it's called, but it was for his nerd. What do they call it? What is it called?
Nerd. It's like Nerd HQ or something?
Yeah, for Nerd HQ at Comic-Con. He said basically he almost went bankrupt the year before because he had to use his own money, and he couldn't do that shit again. And, hey, if you guys want to support it, we'll have all these cool things. And I was like, cool, huh? I'll support it, and I'll never get to go. But you know what? One thing that killed me is I forgot all about it, is that he was like, for any of you supporters who live in Texas, I'm going to be in Austin this weekend. If you contributed to the cause, come on out and meet me, and I'll sign anything you have. And I was like, oh, dude, that would be so – oh, wait, we're going to – and I was like, realized I wouldn't be able to go. But I was thinking of, like, how cool it would be to go with, like, Emma, and we'd take, like – Chuck season one or something and have him sign it or something. It would just be, would have been cool, but you know, I'm not really one of those big, like, you know, fans. I'm not a big star effer type person. Like, I don't want to go to a convention and have people sign shit. I don't care that much. Like, comic book art is pretty important to me. Like, I'd love to have a favorite comic book artist sign something.
Right.
Like, Clive Barker signed a book, Cabal, which was pretty cool. And I also had Ernie Cline sign Ready Player One, which was pretty awesome. But beyond book signings, I don't really care that much. But meeting Zachary Levi...
You want the creator. You don't really care about the actor behind the
Right,
trailer.
Right. It's like on a recent comic
Maybe you would want Chuck to sign something, but...
Yeah, I would love him to sign the Chuck cover or something like that. And it wouldn't be something for like, oh, this is worth a lot of money. It'd be just like something cool. And one thing is Emma has watched all of Chuck now, and it'd be so cool to bring her there or something. And just take a picture of her and Zachary Levi, not me. I'm not going to be my stupid ass right there and like post it on Facebook or something. But one thing that I just thought of is on Comic Book Man, Ernie Hudson was on there. He's one of the Ghostbusters. And they were like selling comic books out of an ice cream truck.
Right.
And they were like, hey, we got some Ghostbusters comics. Ernie Hudson was one of the Ghostbusters. He'll sign it. And I'm like, why would he sign it? He has nothing to do with the comic book. You know what I mean? Sign a 8x10 glossy or something. But did you think that too? Like, what does he have to do?
That's what
comic?
I was
kind of,
yeah. Like, okay,
sign my Oz box set, you know?
You're kind of a second string Ghostbuster. It's like, sorry, ooh. You know.
Yeah, any parts wasn't available.
He has the best line. That's a big Twinkie.
But I have seen shit that'll turn you white.
I love Ernie Hudson though, he's a good guy, but I just thought it was funny have him sign something he had nothing to do with. It was just kind of weird.
But is that the first movie that comes to mind when you see Ernie Hudson as Ghostbusters?
You know, I do, you know, he has a pretty prevalent part in The Crow, remember? They even brought that up, like, you know, he was in The Crow, remember that? Like, but it's kind of bummer when you think about The Crow. So, did you? I know you read Steelheart, right?
Right.
Book Steelheart. What about you, Adam? Did you ever read that?
I own it, but I've not read it.
Because the sequel book called Firefight has come out this week. So I was about to buy it, and then I realized, you know, in the old what am I trying to say? In the store,
in the old app.
On my phone for store. the app store, I realized that there was a
mini story.
Thank you. I'm sitting here distracted. There is a like a short story kind of bridging the two books together. So I bought that. And so I'm going to read that and then I'm going to check out Firefight because I really enjoyed Steelheart. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell it's like for a teen audience kind of thing, but it's still fun. It's kind of a cool action-y kind of superhero type thing. But it's like not superheroes. They're actually supervillains, right?
Yeah. More supervillain. Yeah.
It's more like the superpowered people in the world are evil, and the regular people who are good have to battle these beings. So
have to figure out how to battle.
Their odds are not in their favor, and that's what makes it more exciting. That's a funny thing when, like, writing a story, you're like, how much of the odds do I want to put against my main characters? And then write them out of it. But that's what that kind of thing is. They're kind of set up to with all the odds against them. And it's cool reading about how they get out of it. So you should read that, Adam. I think you'll dig it.
I'll get to it as soon as I bought two books off the Google Play Store this week. So they're on my radar right now.
Do you do that too, where you like keep I'll like buy like three books and then like, okay, when am I going to read these? Because I'm already reading some other things.
Yeah, I still own a Nook, Barnes & Noble Nook that has a little slot for a micro SD card, and I bought this off of Amazon. Some people had modded that card so that you could have an Android operating system on it. So you reboot the device and it'll take you to like an Android operating system like you would find on a phone. And that's how I connect to the Google Play Store and buy stuff off of them.
Cool.
But yeah, both the stuff that I bought through the Barnes & Noble ebook store and through Google Play, I mean, it's full of stuff that I've read or stuff that I've yet to read. And it's incredibly daunting. But hey, I paid for it. So yes, I intend to read it.
Yeah, I do that too. I don't even want to tell you how many books I'm kind of in the middle of that I haven't finished yet.
Yeah.
And then I start reading something else.
I'm finishing books now.
I noticed on Amazon they have a section called shorties. And you can like just read short stories. I'm like, maybe I should do that. Because it's hard for me to read a whole novel. But if I get really into it, I will finish it. Like, I'm in the middle of The Shining, Stephen. And you've since started it and finished it. And I'm like, I'm still on the same page I was in.
And then I've read...
Great book.
And then I read...
Definitely.
20th Century Ghost. And now I'm a third of the way through The Stand.
And that's quite a read, huh? Has it gotten where you're in it and you're just page flipping kind of thing? There's nothing better than when you're into a good book.
Well, I think
book.
Right now it's all the setup stuff. There's a few times where things have gone really fast and then there goes to some setup. When you go to the setup of each new character, it kind of is slow going. But when it gets, when it goes back to the character because they've already been set up, then he can kind of speed through it with like Stu Redman in the...
Sometimes it's hard when there's a lot of characters being introduced. It's kind of hard, like, to get the flow going. You know what I mean? Yeah, I got you there.
Do either one of you like the idea of tackling like a big novel?
Oh, I don't mind it. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually reading over 1,000 page book that I'm in that Bill started like right after I started it, and he's like, "Oh, that was a good book. I finished it," and I was like, bastard. I'm like on page 300 something.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before, but I'm trying to read King in order of release.
Yes, he's trying to read the whole library.
Oh, wow. Good luck to you, sir.
Well, I read all of the Dark Tower series, and I don't remember who it was told me to read Salem's Lot, so I didn't reread because I just read it, but I did Carrie, Shining, and now The Stand, but Salem's Lot would have been the second book in there. So, anyways, since I had just read it like a few months before, I wasn't rereading Salem's Lot. I was like, I'm close enough to have read that one in order.
Yeah, last Christmas I read both The Shining for the first time, and then I read Dr. Sleep, the sequel.
Oh, nice. I have that, too, and I haven't read it yet.
Dr. Sleep is not it's not going to be exactly like The Shining, but I found it to be a very satisfying continuation of that story. So I think you'll dig it.
I was super excited for Mr. Mercedes, and I bought it, and I'm like, okay, that's going to get to that eventually. But I was like, oh, I can't wait to read that. And it's like, oh, I have it now. I'll read it. I'll read it eventually.
Well, I've got the hardback because I've been ordering them off of the Cemetery Dance website with the little cases they come in now.
Yeah, yeah. Do you buy those?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Those are like... the collector's kind or whatever?
No. They're just standard editions, but they just come in a cardboard case to protect them better.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and some of them are decorated to look like the book covers.
I think I might
It's an extra $20.
This is kind of a weird thing. I think I might be done with buying books, though.
No.
I like buying them on tablet.
I like the physicality of having a real book.
Certain books. But what about you, Adam? Are you done buying books? Like
I usually go either for, I don't, like, if it's really cheap, or like an ebook version, or in the public library, I still make either a weekly or a biweekly visit to every weekend, and they have a used bookstore. Now usually come out with few four books, nothing. Right. I never spend like any more than like $10 or so. But I must have bought like 5 or 6 books in the past week. And I want to read them, but there are times where I feel like I do it just out of habit. Like I buy it just to have it.
It's really easy to buy books that way in an app store too, on Google Play. Or we like.
That's why I'm afraid to do it there, because then I'll have a, you know, this catalog of stuff.
Well, it's like The Stand was on sale for like $4.99. I was like, dude, that's like, if I bought that book in the store, it'd be way more. But it's on sale here for like $4.99.
Go to a half price bookstore.
No, but I'm just saying, like, not a used version, but if I bought it brand new. But I'm just buying it. It's there for whenever I want to read it on a virtual shelf.
Okay, here's my, I guess, my opinion on books. If it's something you like and you want to collect, I'll buy the book.
Right, right, right.
If it's, I'm testing the waters, Barry Sanders, the Steelheart book, okay, I'll buy the digital version. If I liked it enough, mm-hmm. I might go online and, you know, if I found it.
If you loved the book, you're like, I'm going to buy that. I'm going to go own it and have it on the shelf or something. Right.
I think I did that with Joe Hill. Mm-hmm. I tested it first. I liked it. And then I bought his book.
It's just,
because I still think buying the book,
there's something satisfying about it. I get that.
Yeah.
There's also something satisfying to just buying something and having it immediately, too. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, I saw that Firefight is out, and I was like, oh, shit, I don't have to go to a store to get it. I could, like, buy it right now.
And I think,
you know,
it kind of goes along with the same thing of owning DVDs. You
yeah,
know?
It's, like, it's the same thing. Like, I could watch it on Netflix, and it's just right there. I don't have to go anywhere. Or you could even rent shit off of DirecTV now, movies. You don't have to go anywhere. Or Vudu or whatever.
But if you don't care about collecting something, a book that you, like I said, I don't need to buy every book I see, just certain ones.
The special ones. Yeah. Stephen King special ones or something. What about you, Adam? Do you still buy a lot of Blu-rays and stuff?
Not as much. Definitely, if Black Friday, I went completely nuts and must have bought like 5 or 6 Blu-rays for really cheap. I usually ask for them around birthday or Christmas time. But throughout the year, unless there's a special exception, I really don't go whole hog on it. Like, I think for the longest time, the Raid 2 on Blu-ray was like the only recent purchase I had bought for the majority of last year. Because I was just waiting for certain releases, or I just didn't feel the need to do all that. I mean, I have fully adopted the whole streaming thing, or through the, you know, the cable box, because you can get it in reasonable quality, and I live in an apartment. I don't have a whole lot of space, so whatever I can do to minimize the clutter, I'll do so. But if you're able to, you know, to house all that stuff, I mean, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I've definitely, like, basically my birthday and Christmas is when I get Blu-rays now, and I don't go out and buy them myself. Like,
unless something like, say, Guardians of the Galaxy came out in July.
Well, for Christmas, I got Guardians of the Galaxy,
right.
And then for my birthday, I got Captain America Winter Soldier. And I don't buy movies otherwise. I think Bill sent me Edge of Tomorrow because he was like, you've got to watch this. I'm sending it to you. And I was like, okay. And I really love that. And X-Men, the most recent X-Men. So it's kind of like those comic book movies that I love. It's like, okay, I got to own that. And I know I'm going to watch it at least 3 times or something. Then I'll purchase it. Other than that, you know, I won't. Hopefully, you know, like, I think of something like the new Mad Max movie. I'm like, dude, I'm owning that on Blu-ray. There's no question.
Right.
That that's going to be a highlight reel where I keep watching sequences or something. But most other movies, you know, I'm not going to buy them anymore. Whereas back in the day, if you go and to my DVD shelf, Steven, you go, why do you own this movie? And I'd be like, I just blind bought it, dude.
The Garbage Pail Kid movie.
Instead of going to Blockbuster, you went to Best Buy and picked up like three movies or something. Nothing that bad, but I'll never forget.
What am I doing with the director's cut of Pearl Harbor? What happened there?
I was so excited. Like, they put out the new version, or it was a remastered version of Mad Max in the Australian language. It always had the
English dub
version here. Yeah. And also the same day, and it was only $10, by the way. It was $9.99. The same day, Buckaroo Banzai came out on DVD. And I'll never forget going to the store and picking up both of those for like $20 and just like, oh, dude, I can't wait to get home to fire these up. Which am I going to watch first? Am I going to watch Mad Max? Am I going to watch Buckaroo Banzai? I don't know. What am I going to do? And just being so excited about DVD purchases. And I was like, all right, I'm going to watch Buckaroo Banzai first. And so I watched Buckaroo Banzai and I'm like, all right, do I watch the commentary? Or no, I got to watch Mad Max now. So I'd watch that. And it was just, you know, back in the day, you know, you just buy DVDs like a madman, you know? Yeah. Just insane.
I think I bought two or three every week on release date.
Wow.
I had that same problem during college where I think there was one week where I bought the Alien Quadrilogy. And I think it was like maybe the first thing it was that and another box set. I can't remember. Maybe it was the Indiana Jones when the trilogy finally came to DVD. I mean, those were big things, but like,
yeah,
I came home with like a Slayer box set and a Johnny Cash box set. I was like, how did I ever afford this stuff? Cause I can't do it anymore.
I know. Like, I'll look in there at my, like, I have the Back to the Future DVD set, but now I have it on Blu-ray. I'm like, why don't I just throw this DVD in the trash or something? Well, I'm never going to watch it again. What am I going to do with this?
Or just give it to Emma or something.
Yeah, well, she wants to watch the Blu-ray version, you know. She knows what she's doing.
You re-gift it.
Yeah, but nobody's like, oh, thanks for this.
I remember sister Vanessa.
Yeah, my sister Vanessa got me a couple of DVDs one year. I'm like, okay, why are you getting me DVDs? I have Blu-rays now. But it's obvious she was re-gifting something, you know.
Yeah.
So this is already open, Jason. Yeah, I know. I watched it. It was good.
You can have it. That's funny. Or my dad, he gifts like a book that he, just finished reading this, you'll like it. It's like, you've already read it, man. It's got your oily fingerprints all over it.
Did you lick your fingers and turn the pages?
That's so basically, there's going to be a landfill filled with DVDs one day, am I right?
Yeah.
I'll be surprised if there isn't already.
Filled with copies of Roadhouse and Porky's and all sorts of stuff.
E.T. right next to the E.T. video game.
Yeah. I don't know. Did Porky's come out on DVD? It had to.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it did.
Porky's Revenge? Is there like a... Remember how you would go to
probably
Walmart?
Came out one of those combo, like, Smokey and the Bandit.
They would have the combos where two movies were on one disc or whatever.
Yes.
For some reason, I've got the combo pack of all three Smokey and the Bandits.
And are they all three pan and scan also?
Probably. I haven't even opened it. You know,
I'll never forget that being in Target. It was when the first Spider-Man movie came out on DVD in Target. And I was going to get it. And I was like, oh, got to get it in widescreen. You know, I just knew you had to have it in widescreen, even though I didn't have a widescreen TV. And I remember, oh, put that back. We need the pan and scan. Why? Oh, we don't have those black lines on the screen. Remember people would say, oh, it's got those black lines. I don't like that. But now everyone has an HD TV.
Widescreen.
It's like, oh, now I have black lines on the side now. It's like, you're the dumbass. Luckily, I don't think they don't make Blu-rays with pan and scan, do they?
No.
Unless it might be a TV show, 4x3 TV show.
That's what's funny is that whole thing with The Wire being remastered because it aired in 4x3, you know, for old televisions. You know, it aired in like 2002, the first season. And they remastered it where they took, you know, it was filmed in, you know, movie format. But they had, like, the square for the TV screen as they're filming it, so you knew what you were framing for television. So what they do is they go back and they open it up where you see the whole picture, and then they frame it properly for HDTV. And it looks gorgeous. But David Simon, who did the show, he showed examples of, here's the original version, here's the new version. And I think this scene loses a little bit of impact being in widescreen now. And I would watch both of them, and I was like, he's insane. It does not lose any impact. I think it's just he's so close to it, which he should be. He created it. But at the same time, I was like, he's wrong. It doesn't lose impact. I don't think it does. I think widescreen's better, you know, when it comes down to it. Have you ever started watching something, Adam, on Netflix, and it comes up, and it's, like, say, old Dawson's
the
Creek?
The very first Ghostbusters is in Panascan. That's so bad.
Well, I just mean, like, if you're on Netflix, God. And you're like, hey, I'm going to watch Dawson's Creek, and you realize it's in Pillar Box, and you're like, eh, I don't feel like watching this. Because it's...
I'm trying to think if there was something that was so jarring, but over Christmas, I got my sister to watch a old 1990s BBC comedy called The Vicar of Dibley. Have you ever seen that?
No, yes. But I've heard of it.
Yeah, it has Don French, and it was, I don't know if he created it, but Richard Curtis wrote apparently most of those episodes for it. Richard Curtis of Love Actually and About Time.
Oh, great. And, yeah, that's awesome.
And even we watched it through her house. She has a Roku player, and it's in 4:3 because it came out in like 93 or 94. And they're not going to, you know, go back and remaster Vicar of Dibley, but
right.
It's just one of those things where I accept that that's where technology was. And for that time, and if you can clean it up, great. But I mean, just as long as I could understand I can comprehend what it is I'm seeing and listening to, I don't mind. You were talking in your last ETL Daily about speculating about whether or not David Simon feels that upgrading him to HD was the right move or not. I'm not getting the judging by his remarks. And that's the only thing I've got to because I haven't watched the show yet. I don't think he feels like it's like someone took his creation from him and did something to it he didn't want to. Like maybe he just feels that. I mean, it's okay for this to exist, but I kind of prefer the way it looked.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I definitely think he was like, if you want to watch it this way on your big TV, I understand that. And it's nice to have a new audience, but I prefer the way we made it. And that's fine for him to do that.
I have a fear. I haven't rewatched like old Red Dwarfs with the pillar box to
right.
see.
I mean, I don't think it renders anything worthless. I don't. I'm just saying like if I have the option of watching, say, Marco Polo in stunning HD or something in pillar box, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to watch Marco Polo first, you know? Like, I'm still going to watch old Brady Bunches, you know? Have they remastered those in HD yet?
Yeah,
Steven?
Of course.
Oh, hell yeah. Love Brady Bunch. What about you guys?
The Marcia getting her nose broke by the football is spectacular.
Guess. Adam, are you a Brady Bunch fan?
I can remember watching reruns back in the 80s or 90s when, you know, they would just, if it was like a 70s or 60s show, they would put it on air during the summertime, and I just watch old TV shows all the time. But it was not a show that I wouldn't consider myself like a big fan of it, but
did you catch that in first run like I did?
The first run.
Don't hold.
I don't think that the show would work as well for me right now.
It wasn't very challenging storylines or anything, you know.
Apparently not. No.
I think as a kid when I watched it, I was like, I wish I had the stuff they had. You know, even though they wore bell bottoms and shit, you could tell that they had a home. You know, they were of means. They had food to eat and shit.
You know? Well-to-do.
Yeah, they're well-to-do. I mean, come on, their dad was an architect, remember?
Yep.
They had a friggin' maid. They had a live-in maid. She had her own room, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, we were flipping channels last night and watched some old $6 million Man.
Nice. Awesome. Still holds up, huh? I'm still a fan of the Fall Guy, dude. I still dig the Fall Guy.
Oh, man, I love the Fall Guy.
So Heather Thomas. Oh, my God.
Can't believe how old he is.
I can remember the best of episode that y'all did for Mulberry where there actually came the part where y'all were singing along to the theme song.
Yeah, the Fall
and
Guy.
My commentary while it was playing.
I could
visualize. I can still remember portions of that montage for that credit sequence, and I was like, "Oh, and there's Heather Thomas coming through. What was it, like a saloon door or something?
Yeah,
wearing
in a
bikini.
And you had this. There was always the two Heathers, Heather Locklear and Heather Thomas. That got confused.
Yeah, there's. Well, I didn't confuse them.
Well, no, the people they got confused because of the name, not
I
their
just
looks.
Knew, after Fall Guy, T.J. Hooker, man, turn that shit on. The TJ Hooker one, I always love when she threw the nightstick at the guy in the legs and he tripped. That always cracked me up. You could almost hear her going, as she threw it, you know? And the guy's like, oh, and trips. Hilarious. Love those old, remember those old intros to TV shows? They'd have the whole, like.
The whole storyline in it. The Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies are great. Or Hunter, you know?
You got to tell the whole story of what
clips
they're doing.
Of the entire highlight reel of the show, basically, and then if somebody was like, and
the
freeze frame
wink
on
at
them,
the end.
Yeah, yeah, love it, works for me. Remember, that's what Hunter would say. And Dee Dee McCall, of course. All those shows always had like one hot chick on them, you know, like Dee Dee or Heather Locklear, Heather Thomas, and it never made sense why she hung around those guys. Why are you with these dorks? I don't understand, you know?
These guys are 20 years old.
The one thing
you.
That didn't make sense is, like, Riptide, it had the two guys and then the nerdy guy with a robot. They didn't have, like, a hot chick hanging out with them. But they always got hot chicks, didn't they?
Look, that way they didn't have to be isolated to one hot chick. They could split it up.
Yeah, totally. I don't even know. What are we talking about?
We're just talking about old TV shows. Pillar Box versus widescreen.
Yeah. I'll watch anything, you know. I'll watch Saved by the Bell. Not anymore. I'm boycotting it after Screech tried to stab a dude, though. Were you guys pretty shocked by that?
The fall from grace is that much, huh?
I can't watch this anymore. No, is there that
he
guy
was defending
just,
his wife?
Is that guy just a piece of shit or what? Screech?
I don't want to say it's not that it's gone to his head. He thinks he's bigger than he is. And because he's having
he's
to actually.
He's destroyed the legacy of Screech, Steve.
Now that he's having to work for money. It's like, look, you were a bad child actor.
When Dana Plato held up that video store, I was like, you know, she's got problems, you know. I didn't hold anything against her.
You
but
were
she
the
didn't
nerd
stab
Screech.
Anybody.
You tried to get gain weight and get all the muscles. Stay skinny and nerdy, dude.
Yeah. What did he do there? He's just not that nice little nerdy guy. He's a jerk. It's like Danny Bonaducci, psycho drug addict, right? Remember
he's the continuation of Danny Bonaducci.
That cute kid from 8 is Enough is a scumbag.
Now you look at him, he's tainted on the show. It's like, ugh.
I can't watch this anymore. No way. I'm thinking of Nicholas from 8 is Enough. Danny Bonaducci was on the Partridge Family. What the hell am I thinking? Or, you know, my brain just mixed up. Because remember, Adam Rich, he was a big drug addict too, right?
Was he?
Yeah.
Remember Willie Ames was.
Willie Ames? Now he's Bible Man, dude.
No, he got messed up on drugs and overweight. He was Bible Man, right. That's true.
It was after he got off drugs, though, right?
But he put on all that weight and he became an ass because they were trying to put him on that celebrity weight loss show. And they came to his house and he slammed the door on him after he'd already said he was going to be on it or something.
Like, I'm eating a burrito. Leave me alone.
Done.
I'm done. I think the biggest dick celebrity of all times on any of those shows was Jeff Conway, wasn't he? Poor guy. May he rest in peace, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But also, Gary Busey comes off to me like a dick, too.
I just don't think he realizes he thinks he knows he doesn't know it.
He doesn't make me want to purchase Amazon things. It's like, why did they get this psycho to promote their product? I don't understand.
But too bad they got rid of his show.
Oh, God, that was so long ago. Do you remember that,
Adam? That was one of the most awkward things I've ever seen.
Was it My Life with Gary Busey? Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Something like that.
I just remember when he tried to pass off, it was a girl as a robot, and he was like, it's not a real girl, it's a robot. He's like, really? Wow, that's amazing. He like totally was buying it, but was he? Was the show scripted? I don't know. It was just this strange, odd show.
Which was kind of silly.
Yeah, very silly.
Kind of par the course for E! Entertainment television programming.
Okay, I want to know, you guys, what movie are you most looking forward to this year, 2015?
Oh, good Lord. You had to pick this year.
Yeah.
Well, you got The Road Warrior. I'm looking forward to that.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Well, yeah, so, I'm sorry. Mad Max. Road Warrior.
I want to be technical, you know. I mean, it goes without saying that, of course, Star Wars. Come on, we don't even need to bring that up, right?
So, besides Mad Max and Star Wars and Avengers 2, what else is there to look forward to?
Well, what's crazy is, you know, we'll get the Avengers, Age of Ultron, and then, like, just 2 months later, I guess, will be Ant-Man.
Oh, Ant-Man. Yeah, jeez.
And, you know, I wasn't super... I didn't know what to think about it. And I saw the teaser and I was like, that looks good enough to go see. Like, remember I was talking about that on the show that, like, has there been a Marvel movie you wanted to skip? Not me so far. I wanted to see all of them.
Fantastic Four?
That's not a Marvel movie. It's a Fox movie. I didn't see either one of those in the theater. Saw them
on
video.
Just throw them out there.
Were you a fan of the Fantastic Fours, Adam?
I've seen the first one. I've seen a little bit of the second one, and I was not thrilled by either.
it's pretty much
like the hokiest, campiest approach to those movies. So I'm hoping they can do something good with this one coming up.
What else is coming out?
Well, I mean, there's some earlier stuff within these upcoming months. I know Bill isn't thrilled about it, but I'm looking forward to Black Hat because anytime Michael Mann puts a movie out, which I think the last movie he put out was like Public Enemies, and that was like 2009.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an event. It's an event for me, and Black Hat, it's looking pretty timely with, you know, all the... you know, the dickheads on the internet just ruining the cyber terrorism stuff. So I'm hoping that one.
Does that HD video effect he does bother you? Do you notice it?
Yeah. Well, I noticed it in Collateral, which didn't take me. I mean, in some of those nighttime scenes, there was one, I think like the aftermath of, Tom Cruise shooting that club owner after quizzing him about Miles Davis, and then Jamie Foxx tries to run away, and then Cruise catches up with him. There's this point where, like, either the pixelation or this just the limited light source just doesn't come off that well. And I think it actually worked better in the Miami Vice movie than Collateral, but Collateral had its strengths. It didn't take me completely out of it, but yes, you can't help but watch that movie and notice the limitations of the technology.
Yeah, it mostly bothered me in Public Enemies because of it just being a historical time period, you know, and it being, you know, with the set dressing, and yet it looked like it was on video. It just kind of took me out of it.
I didn't mind that. The only time it did was there's a moment where they take out I forget. There's this one shootout that takes place in the, at this hotel where they shoot one of Don Dillinger's teammates. And I forget who it is, but there's like there's this takedown at a hotel that just goes completely wrong,
right?
And it just doesn't look very good the way it does. But everything else in the movie worked just fine. I think it's just certain scenes that just don't bode very well.
I'm curious about this. Like I know Michael Mann's a fantastic filmmaker, and that's why it drives me nuts that that effect bothers me, because it bothers me more in the theater than it does on television. Like if I were to watch Collateral right now on TV, it doesn't bother me like it would in the theater.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely interested in it. If I see it gets really good reviews, I think it'd be hard to not go see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll probably go regardless of it. And, I'm also going to go regardless of what anyone says about Jupiter Ascending, because it's the Wachowski brothers.
Yeah, it looks awesome. But what about American Sniper? Are you guys interested in seeing that?
I read the book and really enjoyed it, but man, the critics whose taste I genuinely trust, like whether it's Drew McWeeny or Scott Weinberg, they have not responded to that movie very well.
They didn't warm up to it, did they?
It just seems like a very condensed version of the events in the book, where it's war is hell and this is what it does to someone. But apparently Bradley Cooper's amazing in it, but it's just everything else just gets
the way it's structured is kind of a mess. Or
yeah,
well, another thing is when you see a film advertised the way it is, where like, come see this movie to get upset and cry, you know, basically. Yeah. And I also wonder, will it include his death in the story, or will that be kind of a thing at the end credits? It'll say how he died or something like that. Do you have any idea? Because obviously the book doesn't cover his death.
I would say it would probably end with them going to the gun range or something. They wouldn't show anything, obviously. But
or would they not include it at all? That's what I'm wondering. Because it's based on the book, American Sniper. Maybe it's just...
The book was completed before his death at the gun range. So maybe it's just a footnote at the end credit sequence.
It's always such a bummer when you see a movie like that and you know the person died recently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is their life. Okay, what do you guys think of Mordecai, that new Johnny Depp movie? Does it look annoying as shit, or do you want
to see it? It looks annoying to me.
Looks like a piss-poor Pink Panther.
Yes. Yeah,
it does kind of look like... Or I was even thinking Mr. Bean,
something like that. Too.
But it's in that vein, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're right about Jupiter Ascending. I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, I kind of wish for Johnny Depp to play as close to normal. Like, where's the Johnny Depp of Donnie Brasco or What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Like, I miss those, like, naturalistic performances from him. And no, he's got to be a cuckoo in every movie he's in now. And it just feels like we're missing
China White speedballing with Pure Flake.
Okay.
I'm excited this because my daughter too. But SpongeBob Out of Water, can't wait to see that in February. Huge SpongeBob fan. What about you guys?
I will probably pass.
Steven, you're going to go see that with us. Come on. What about you, Adam? Are you going to skip that?
I don't know if I'd go to the theater for it, but I don't hate SpongeBob, but it's just something I don't watch.
Okay, let me ask you this. This movie I do want to see in the theater, Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Yes, it looks crazy. It looks offensive. It looks wild. And why the hell not?
He's a solid director. Good old Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah, but I would just love to see Colin Firth just kill a bunch of people in a room. That'd be worth it.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, man. What's with the weird chick with knife feet or something? That looks weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I hope that kid, I hope the little main lead character takes off that stupid cap of his. I just don't like when people wear caps like that.
Now, this is interesting. I watched this trailer, and it did make me laugh, but I wonder where John Cusack is. It's Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Yeah. Isn't it weird that he's not in that?
Yeah.
But what do you guys think? Maybe his storyline's just over, and it's the other characters. I don't know.
I never saw the first one, so I can't tell whether missing him is a good thing or not.
If you Comedy Central on a Saturday night, they usually show that like every week. It seems like
it's the first one's good.
It's funny.
If there's no John Cusack, I don't care. I mean, I like John Cusack. I like the other characters in it as well, but you need that one key character. Because none of the other
he
ones
was the
really,
straight man.
Nobody else had a redeeming quality, really, essentially.
Right, right. Now, what, Adam, are you a big Divergent fan?
No, I have yet to see even the first one, and I don't have any plans to read the books. They just look hokey to me.
Yeah, you liked it, didn't you?
I liked the first one a lot.
My dad said he liked it, too.
I think it was a better version of The Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm. My dad said he liked it better, although he did say the second Hunger Games was really good, which I haven't seen yet. In April, Furious 7 comes out, and I'm still not sure if I want to see that. I wanted to see all the Furious movies, but I'm still bummed out that Paul Walker died. I don't know if I want to see it.
We've got like a little The Crow situation happening here, don't we?
Yeah. And it'll be awkward when it's like, that's a CGI Paul Walker. That's kind of weird or something. I don't know.
They use like his brothers or his relatives to do some.
He has two brothers that look almost just like him. They have blonde hair, the same build, everything. And they filled in for parts for him. And
a little distance shot.
If they did a good job, then we won't even notice. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple of shots in The Crow where you notice where they used effects to cover it up, you know?
Right.
But that's okay. I mean, I had to see The Crow anyway when it came out, even though it was a bummer. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Hell yes. Now, May is going to be really cool because basically Avengers Age of Ultron comes out May 1st, right? Mm. Well, only 2 weeks later, Mad Max Fury Road comes out. So basically we can go see Age of Ultron at least 5 times before Mad Max comes out, right?
Theoretically, yes.
But here's the crazy thing. Heather and Emma want to see Pitch Perfect 2 really bad. So when we go to the theater, it's be like, okay, guys, see you after the movie. I'm going to Mad Max. They're going to see Pitch Perfect. I'm going to see Mad Max. But also, like, later in that month, Tomorrowland comes out. And that looks pretty interesting.
It does.
I don't remember that one.
That Brad Bird directs that. It's remember the girl picks up the pin and all she's in a future.
Yeah.
Looks pretty cool. Okay. I have no idea what the hell is going on in it, but looks pretty cool. And of course, Jurassic World, which we're all going to go see, right?
Yes.
In June.
Yeah. Why not?
What is the Transporter Legacy? This is the first time I've heard of it.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, wait, I can't. June 5th, Entourage. We're all going to go see that, right?
Oh, God.
Yes.
You two are. I don't know about me.
Do you want
to
see
a special trip into town to see that?
I've never seen a single episode of it.
Oh, you're missing out, my friend.
Hey, HBO Go. You could binge watch the entire run, man. Oh, it's so silly. There's a lot of references to Hollywood and stuff like that. That part's kind of amusing, but it's such a goofy show. Terminator Genesis, July 1st.
Boo.
No comment.
Well, the same day, Magic Mike XXL comes out, so I think I'll skip that too. I'm sure Heather would be like, yeah, I think I want to go see that. Right, it's like,
you're on your own.
I'm going to go see Terminator Genesis. I'll be in the other theater.
If I have to see something, it'll be Terminator.
CGI Arnold. The Minions movie. Definitely going to see that. Come on, I love those little Minion guys.
I'd go see the Minions.
Then July 17th, Ant-Man. Woohoo! Now, what is this? Is this true? There's a remake of Poltergeist? That can't be right.
If there is, I have no interest in it, but, you know, good, you know.
With Jared Harris, Sam Rockwell, Rosemary DeWitt. Wow.
I don't know.
No.
I really don't know.
I don't. Is this a remake? I don't know. I never even knew. I'm sure we'll see a trailer for that soon. I'm sure we'll hit.
Or yeah. We won't. It'll go okay. Straight to video.
But what about this? July 31st, Point Break?
No.
Set in the international world of extreme sports, an undercover FBI agent infiltrates the criminal ring. That's a remake right there,
not
buddy.
Not an improvement. Not an improvement at all.
Luke Bracey plays Johnny Utah. Who the hell is that? Edgar Ramirez is Bodie? Who the hell are these people?
I know of Edgar Ramirez, but I'm not sure that should instill any confidence.
Should that movie have been made, you guys? No. Because the first one's a classic. Seriously, War Child.
Yeah, if they did a version of it, like a another young guy cop, you know, doing...
That's Fast and Furious, basically.
Yeah, I mean, just doing a different...
Oh, my God, I watched the trailer. It's... Oh, dude, the guy who played the wolf dude in the Twilight movies, he... Oh, man, I can't remember what it's called. If I could remember his name, I could look on IMDb. But basically, he wants to learn parkour from these guys. And the parkour guys happen to be thieves who rob banks. So he's infiltrating the parkour guys. He's actually undercover.
So it's a Point Break.
It's Point Break with parkour.
Yeah.
And I was laughing my ass through the entire trailer.
And if you do a Point Break with, like, what the motocross, all that stuff, where they're flipping the motorcycles and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That'd be hilarious.
I would think that the Punisher Warzone put an end to parkour-related activity in movies.
Have y'all seen
that?
No.
All right, there's a sequence where Frank Castle has to deal with some idiots doing parkour, and the way he deals with them, it's one of the grossest, but it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I've
so
seen
I can't take parkour seriously anymore after that movie.
I mean, it's cool to look at, but I don't think we need a gang of bank robber thieves
running
like
and bouncing
hopping around tables and stuff. Or
yeah.
Is that Fantastic Four happening with Michael B. Jordan?
Should be. I mean, last time I checked.
I guess it's really happening with Josh Trank. I'll wait till I see the trailer. I mean, I don't care either way. I kind of wish Marvel had that property themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was psyched about it ever since they made the announcement around a little bit before Thanksgiving. But if they complete production on time in December, not only will there be a Star Wars movie, there will be another Bond film.
Oh, yeah,
Spectre. I was just thinking about that when we were talking about parkour, because they pulled it off so well in that opening sequence of that early sequence in Casino Royale. And Spectre has most of the remaining crew from Skyfall coming in, so I'm interested to see where they're going to go with.
Remember in Skyfall, there's a part where Bond finds this big auditorium with all these people in it? Do you remember that in Skyfall? And I was like, is that Spectre? Like, it's a bunch of bad guys, like, in this big assembly, it seems like. And I wonder if that was Spectre, and I asked
my
dad.
I'm wondering if maybe you're confusing that with Quantum of Solace, because...
Oh, maybe I am.
They apparently are having like an incognito meeting at a opera. I forgot what the opera was.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Is that in...
That's Quantum. In Quantum of Solace. That was actually my favorite sequence of that movie, where he just eavesdropped on it.
Did you think that was Spectre too? When you were watching
it would be like a Spectre-like organization, but they don't go anywhere with it. That's
right. I was wondering if they were setting that up, but
I thought they were setting that up with maybe Skyfall, but I thought, well, apparently no one cares?
I enjoyed Skyfall a lot, but I got to tell you the truth about something about Skyfall. I've only seen it once when I saw it in the theater. I've never watched it again.
Probably me
too.
Well,
it's waiting for you on Netflix, so.
Have you watched it multiple times?
Oh, yes. I bought it on Blu-ray. I've even watched it on cable. It's you know, one of my favorites. I'd definitely put it in the top 10.
I should rewatch it on the Netflix.
Yeah. It's good stuff, but I'm excited about that cast. Dave Bautista, there's no way he's not going to be a Bond villain, so that's going to be interesting.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that, and hopefully Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight will meet its release date, supposedly for, you know, for December, but I wouldn't be surprised if it gets delayed.
Yeah, when is that coming out? I wonder.
Yeah, well, they're shooting for a December release, but as far as I know, production probably may have just started or is going to start. And it was that script of his that leaked online, and for a while he said, "Well, now I'm not going to do it." But then apparently he changed his mind and got the cast assembled, and it looks fantastic. I mean, did everyone here see and enjoy Django Unchained?
I have not watched it.
I have seen it. Of course, it's incredibly uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
But you cannot deny that Quentin Tarantino is at the height of his directing powers. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I love when all hell breaks loose and Django's just blowing dudes away.
And the squibs are ridiculous.
They are so ridiculous. But I love it. I eat that shit up. All the crazy, like, disturbing, like, racist stuff, like, it's so disturbing. Like, the part with the dogs, remember that? That part's pretty disturbing. There's a lot of disturbing shit in there. I do think Quentin Tarantino's an effed up dude, but he's extremely talented, you know?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and Leonardo DiCaprio was incredible in that.
I remember coming home from work one night, turning on the TV, and I usually swap around the movie channels to see what's going on. And there was that exact moment where he starts that phrenology monologue where he's talking about, you know, black people having, you know, dents in their skulls because their minds are more geared to servility rather than creativeness. And it's just one of the most uncomfortable, offensive things anyone said in the movie. Yeah. But he executes it so well. He knows he's a bastard, and DiCaprio just eats that role
up.
He
went for it completely.
Yeah, and from what I hear in The Hateful Eight, I think Django Unchained was pre-Civil War. Hateful Eight is post-Civil War, but the racism is not gone from the Western setting as well.
But also, Samuel L. Jackson is so disturbing in Django Unchained 2.
Yeah. But I just love the idea of him and Kurt Russell as bounty hunters being trapped up in this inn, or I think it's like a motel or an inn during one of the worst blizzards, and they've got a bunch of people who just, you know, hate each other. It's like it's exactly what is the second half of Django Unchained, which is all the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it's like a powder keg that's just ready to explode.
To me, also, John Carpenter's, just so you know, not the remake of like Assault on Precinct 13, but like as a Western or something, you know, where they're held up against a bunch of people trying to kill them, basically.
Yeah.
I guess the Alamo is the same way, too. Except that's a lot more people trying to kill you.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm hoping that one comes out. Are they saying – I heard some people saying maybe the next Mission Impossible movie will come out this year unless it gets delayed or something. But I'm looking forward to that. Christopher McQuarrie's writing and directing it, and he did such a good job with – Jack Reacher. Anyone else excited for that one?
Yeah. Mission Impossible 5. It comes out on Christmas Day, apparently.
Holy crap. This is going to be a nutty year.
Right. But Star Wars comes out on December 18th. So I'm wondering if anyone's going to go see Mission Impossible 5. Because seriously, I'll be like, fifth time seeing Star Wars,
depends,
man.
Depends on how good Star Wars is, too.
Right, right. I'm just assuming I will see it at least three times, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Get a little high frame rate Star Wars.
I don't think it's in high frame rate. that's December. That's what I'm going to be anticipating. And, of course, after Avengers and Mad Max, then be like, oh, I'm so excited. Like, it's something like Jurassic Park. Jurassic World, I'll go see it. But I'm not, like, super excited like I am those other three films.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that the reason I'm going to see it is because Chris Pratt's in it.
Right, yeah.
So I know nothing about Colin Trevorrow. I'm hoping, and the script is co-written by William Monahan, who wrote The Departed and wrote Kingdom of Heaven. So
that's interesting.
It's got to at least be competent. I'm crossing my fingers for it. I think we need another trailer to sell us. Or at least to sell me, anyway, on that movie.
There's only so many times you can do the corporation inventing a new dinosaur, endangering everyone's lives kind of thing. You know, lives. You know what? In the background right now is Married to the Mob. And it's probably the only film I've ever seen that's done during the whole end credit sequence has all the deleted scenes in the movie. Have you ever noticed that? There's scenes that aren't even in the movie during the end credits.
I've never seen it. I've never heard of that, though.
Oh, Married to the Mob's a great movie. Wait a minute.
Didn't Wild Things... Well, they're not... Wild Things had, like, additional scenes during the credits, but I don't think they'd be deleted scenes. Like, they were just showing... They were just, like, filling in the gaps kind of thing.
Yeah, I assumed it's scenes that they cut out of the movie.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you ought to check out... Married to the Mom. I got it for Heather for Christmas. For her birthday on Blu-ray. But even though, because she records it every time it comes on HBO, I'm like, can we just own this and save DVR space? That's one of them that always gets recorded, along with Gross Point Blank and Mr. Mom.
High
Fidelity. Well, I haven't seen that in a while.
I watched it last night.
Oh, really? The best part is the patchouli stink out of my store. I love that sequence. It's great. Well, guys, I think we should wrap it up. I had a fun time talking with you guys. Adam, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me, dude.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been fun just rapping, man. We're just talking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, I don't even know what games I'm excited about now, but I'm sure there'll be something.
This year is so cluttered. But, I mean, the number of games that are expected to come out, a lot of which were delayed, which are coming out of here. I mean, there's so much good stuff as far as this one's concerned. We're getting Just Cause 3 on next gen, which should be just insane.
I've never played those games, Just Cause.
Well, I know Bill has, and it's just one of those great open-world games where you're in some Banana Republic country, you know, fictional one, where you're just blowing things up, taking out outposts, and you've got, like, this retractable, like, hook or something like Spider-Man or something, and you're just zipping around all over this weird country just, you know, killing people and just blowing things up. And I've still been playing the second one on the PS3. So I'm looking forward to that. Batman Arkham Asylum. I mean, Arkham Knight. I've loved those games, so I'm looking forward to that. But I mean, there's just so much stuff, like Witcher 3 or Metal Gear Solid 5 or No Man's Sky, which I think is PS4 exclusive. I mean, there's just so much stuff. I've never seen a year more loaded with entertainment options.
Just jam-packed with stuff.
Yeah. Who is going to be able to afford all this nonsense?
I know. Have you seen that one PlayStation plan where you pay like $20 a month and you just play games like directly to your console, like online?
Yeah, their streaming service. I'm not jumping into that. One, I'm not tempting my cable, my internet provider to send me a bandwidth ceiling.
I've wondered about things like that. Like I'm watching like HBO Go, like nobody's business watching The Wire. And
yeah.
Emma's in the bedroom watching Netflix or YouTube or whatever. I'm like, how much like internet are we using? And is anyone watching this and going, oh, dude, you need to slow their shit down? They're watching too much streaming stuff. All of a sudden, everything's just buffering. You know?
Yeah, I mean, my internet speed is good enough to run it. I just don't want to play. I mean, that stuff is games are usually dependent how they work best with as little lag or latency issue as possible. But you're going to get that with streaming a game. There's just no way around it.
It should be, honestly, like if it's I don't know how much space it would take up, but you would download it to your console while you play it. And it's like it's on your console where you can play it anytime, but you can delete it for space afterwards. It's like, and you can re-download it again later. I don't know if that's practical, but like streaming where you're connected at all times to a server seems like it'd take a lot of like bandwidth and stuff.
Yeah, I just don't think that we're technology-wise, we're at that point where bandwidth capabilities are like that. Maybe for some parts of the country, but I can't imagine that Northwest Arkansas is like that. So, I just want to run it off a disk or run it off the hard drive.
Right.
That to me just seems like the optimal way to do it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I guess this is a workaround for people who don't use or don't have their last gen systems anymore, and this is the way to work around the absence of backward compatibility.
It would be the kind of thing where, like, we'll be when it launches. I guess pretty soon we'll just read.
Yeah, like next
all
week,
the,
I think.
Yeah, we can read the people talking about the service.
Yeah,
but all I know
see
is
failures
$20 a month is, you know, that's quite a bit. Like you would have to, it'd be kind of like Netflix. Like, will I be getting? I need to be watching something every week, otherwise I'm not getting my money's worth. It'd be like $20. It's like I need to be gaming because I'm wasting my money or something.
So they need to do it like and limit it. Just say even $10 a month for the streaming games, but you can play two games a month. Two different series, you know,
right.
or
that's
limited,
the thing. Like I would think I would have to be a teenager with not a
no
lot
time.
Of responsibility for this to be worth
with,
it, you know,
lots of time. I mean,
yeah, lots of time on my hands or work somewhere where like I was like a security guard that looked at a monitor all day and I'd be playing games, not paying attention that something like that. Yeah. Really bad security guard. Something like that. Should we wrap this up or does anybody else want to talk about anything?
One last thing, I guess, I can't remember who was it asked us to watch the league or we watched
Ken
Preventure. Started watching the league. It's hilarious.
Oh really?
Yes.
Cool. Is it? Maybe I should check it out. Do you know?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Cool. I can watch that. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of big on The Wire, but it's good to have something funny to watch too.
It is just crazy funny.
No. Yeah, it's people being dicks as funny, but it's still funny. Everyone on that show is just completely atrocious, but it's good stuff.
I season passed Pawn Stars a while back, and I swear, two episodes recorded. Are those new?
I don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes
I just turn them over and I watch them occasionally, whether they're new or not.
First aired January 8th, 2015. So we have a couple of Pawn Stars to talk about. For Ken there.
Well, I just thought about that because he asked this and my brother found it and he goes, dude, you got to watch this show. It's crazy.
That's awesome. Okay. It's so, like crazy insane, yo,
so
right?
So we've been watching those.
Yeah, that's what I like. That guy's
cigarette laugh.
Smoker laugh. So great. Good stuff. All right, guys. Well,
that's it. That was.
Let's
I just wanted
wrap
to
this
throw
up.
That one last thing out.
Oh, I no, no, wait. I got one more thing, guys. One more thing. If somebody sends me a voicemail, I'm going to play it. And Hannah sent me a voicemail this week.
Yay.
So let's play it real quick, guys. Hannah, thank you for sending a voicemail. Anybody else, would you like to send a voicemail? Send it to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Or you could call this number, 1206-309-4729. And at the beep, leave a message. It'll go straight to the show email, and I will get it and play it on the show. So let's check out Hannah's voicemail.
Hi, guys. It's Hannah speaking. Long time no call, so I thought I'd send you a little message to say hey and that I'm still listening. I'm currently sitting in an empty house in New Zealand that I've just finished cleaning before Mike and I move in, and you have been the soundtrack to my day. It's a little late, but I've been listening to the holiday episode, which has been greatly entertaining me, as always. I haven't really got much to tell you. I haven't seen any films or watched much interesting TV recently. All I've been doing is pulling funny faces at a six-month-old baby and dancing around like an idiot for her. Anyway, just wanted to say Happy New Year to you all, and
you.
I will continue to enjoy listening to you. Take care, guys. Lots of love. Bye.
Wow, thank you, Hannah. Can you imagine living in New Zealand? Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah, I would.
It's where they film Xena, and I love that show.
That's, I love how that's the show that comes to your mind when you think of New Zealand.
Not Lord,
Hobbit,
of
Lord of
the Rings or The Hobbit. It's like, dude, they filmed Xena there.
Yeah, the movies they actually use as tourist guide stuff, but for Jason, Xena.
It's like,
where's the soundstage for Xena?
Where you're standing is the Shire. They built a village. Wait, oh, excuse me? I got a question. Yeah, where did they film Xena? And the dude's like, excuse me? You know, Xena? Come on, dude.
It was shot here, don't you know?
Come on, dude. Xena. No, yeah. But thank you so much, Hannah. That's awesome. And, you know, that...
posting awesome photos of the baby.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Just, you know, my daughter is 10. She's going to turn 11 in a few months. And I just keep going, what happened to my baby girl? She's growing up. And when I say something like, stay little, she's like, thinks I'm insane. But I'm like, you don't understand. It's so traumatizing to see your child get taller and they become a person. I mean, just an adult. I mean, I know she's nowhere near an adult yet, but she's getting super tall, isn't
yes,
she?
Yeah.
And her voice is changed a bit. And it's just like, she's not a little kid anymore, and it's freaking crazy, and I'm still not over it. And I'm just like, maybe we should have another baby. We need one. It's still in the cuddle stage. No, do you remember that? It was in Raising Arizona. Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
They're all past cuddle stage. She wants that baby. You give me that baby. That's the way I am. We need a new baby. Want a cuddle.
Stage.
Keep us updated on that conversation between you and Heather.
Yeah, but the best part is when the kid writes fart on the wall.
You mind your mother, Mordecai.
Mordecai, yeah, that is the kid's name. I love it. The worst children ever on the planet. I love it. Thank you so much, Hannah. And if anybody else, I already said that. But if you would, go ahead and send one. A voicemail, that is. Also, for all our patrons out there, Adam, including you, thank you so much for your patronage. And I want to keep delivering a product to you. And I hope you enjoy it. And we'll do some more shows here soon. And Adam, how cool is it? You're becoming a regular on the show, man. I love it.
Yeah, I don't want to replace Bill, but anytime you want me to just even pop up now and then, that'll be good. But I'll keep sending the voicemails if you keep putting out the content, buddy.
And also, next time you'll be doing the DVDs in place of Bill. So they're not replacing him.
You can fill in
but,
for me next week. I'm out.
And I need you to do the news also.
Time to resurrect TRS-80, man.
Yeah. Awesome. I love TRS-80. But, yeah, until next time, guys, I bid you Vita Zane. No, what do I, Steven?
For sure, that word, whatever. I don't speak German, but whatever.
With Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Oh, there's a TRS-80. Yeah, it's not really working. All right, everybody, that's a show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Steven, and thank you, Adam. And I'll see you guys next time. Laters. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
I protest. I am not a merry man.
Now this is podcasting.